find yourself in danger when you're shopping by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super soak and throw the bad guys for a loss. And he will bring the skin alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can do.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain in the open air coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the found sheep and even the lost sheep who are looking of the house of Israel, the remnant, you chosen seed of Israel's race, you ye who did hear the call. Greetings. Now, folks, this is episode number 83.5 of the 18th of August, 2011. And tonight's episode shall be called the Topeka Rally of May 15th, 2004. Now, what I came across looking on an old hard drive on my old computers was I went ahead and found the Topeka Rally. And what I'd done is I had taken, I'd gone ahead and copied portions from this old Panasonic, 1996 Panasonic VHS camcorder. And the battery only lasted, well, when it was new, it would last about 2 hours. And it was fairly new, but the battery only lasted really about an hour and a half, maybe an hour 45 minutes, which was pretty good. But I went up to Topeka and took Roxy with me because I wanted to go ahead and meet Pastor Richard Butler before he died. Now, everyone knew that Pastor Richard Butler in 2004 was in very bad health. And somewhat facetiously, I called Billy Roper, taking him along. And he got both Pastor Butler and he got from Catch a Lane the David Lane material as well. And were they compatible? And the answer is yes, sort of, in that David Lane was, or used to be, just like Tom Metzger, one of Pastor Richard Butler's ministers. But he went on to Wodenism, and Metzger went on to solipsism, a.k.a. atheism. But for a while, they were, you know, fairly good friends here, and I think they still were. Now, regrettably, when I went up there, they had this character named Rick Spring, who was a, he was essentially a bank robber and criminal who Zog had let out in order to go ahead and spy, and for some reason, him and his wife, who was nursing Butler, they'd gone ahead and lost his farm, as, you know, Morris Dees calls it a compound, but he'd lost it, and he was living in a house. And essentially, Rick Spring's wife went ahead and functioned as a sort of a nurse. And Rick Spring got in as head of security. Now, folks, in my time in the bowel movement, if you have a militia, you have as head of security, and Tom Metzger knows the same thing, is that usually these Jews and the rest of these criminals gravitate to that, to where they can go ahead and determine security. And essentially what they do is that the security that needs to be set up is against them. And they disable the security, and they pull all sorts of crap. And Rick Spring was no difference. He later on went along with Billy Roper, and they essentially formed their own faction, and it became the Jonathan Williams faction. And Jonathan Williams had no idea what he was talking about as a DFCI minister, but at least he was sort of white, even though either his wife or girlfriend or sister was a mud shark. And eventually, Jonathan Williams went ahead and left. And in the meantime, he had fights with August Christ and then Ray Redfern and Morris Gillette, who essentially was kicked out by Ray Redfern and by Pastor Butler. And right now, Mo Gullett, after his time in prison for conspiring to rob banks for Bolivian nose candy, I believe, is a snitch, and so does Pastor John Britton. But in any case, Butler was still alive. Butler was still head of the Aryan Nations, although August Christ didn't believe us, much. And August Christ is in jail right now, waiting a trial on, fraudulently asking for a pension. I found out recently that he had actually gone ahead and been condemned. But getting on with it, well, not condemned, he'd pleaded guilty. And he no longer have any feet, he don't have a leg, he has real bad diabetes. Maybe he just wanted three hots and a cot. In any case, I'm not going to gloat over Augie's crisis downfall. But essentially, Billy Roper was flogging, David Lane's stuff here. They got from Cassia Lane, who decided that she didn't want to be harassed anymore, and sold her David Lane stuff and moved back to Secaucus, New Jersey, and I haven't heard anything from her since 2003. And earlier in September 2003, I had gotten an invitation to go to Colt, Arkansas, which was on just off I-40, shy of West Memphis, and it was a long ways, and I only had one car, and car, I had the grandchildren, everybody here, and everybody needed the car worse, and I didn't really want to go ahead and drive that far. So later on, when I heard that Pastor Richard Butler would be in Topeka, which was essentially about 200 miles away from me in eastern Kansas, I decided to go, and I took Roxy with me. And up there, I met, of course, Billy Roper. I met Pastor Richard Butler, which was the whole point of going there. But I also met Alex Linder, the gut sick weedo weasel, Jew ass cancer. I went ahead and met, Craig, as I call him, Corn Cob. And Corn Cob had just bought a little video thingamajiggy. And, essentially, that was, I think, the start of him becoming a filmmaker. Alex Linder was there. He was entranced by what he'd seen. And he thought he would just go ahead and make a big deal of it. This was 5 weeks after my grandchildren were stolen, crying from their house, and I was very, very, very mad. I was running for governor of Missouri, and I gave the most fiery speech of the lot, I think, saying that Zog would be destroyed. Zog, of course, needed to be destroyed. And Pastor Richard Butler was rather quiet. What I also seen is we had about 80 or 100 pigs, about 400 counter-demonstrators, and there was, 20 or 21 of us, counting Roxy. And Roxy really was no Nazi. She just went up there because she wanted to get out of the house, and I promised her a dinner, and I didn't really go through with it. We went ahead and went afterwards to, we met the parking lot. The pigs went ahead and demanded an ID. Copied, photocopied, did whatever to the ID, knew who we were, and we got bussed there. We had a speech, and essentially I went ahead and recorded that event, going there on the bus, speaking, going back. And what got me is that there were two helicopters. I mean, a lot of money was being spent on this. And we were there for, 35 or 45 minutes. Essentially, we were not allowed to go to the actual place here because of security concerns. And they were supposed to have us separated. But essentially, the pigs decided to go ahead and let some mamzer come in. He was sort of a dark-colored Indian-looking shit-skin here. And more and more and more came up. What surprised me was the niggers were mainly going ahead and looking to see what Klansmen or what us old time, what the old timers they thought died looked. They brought their little nigglets there. The wiggers were doing the most screaming. But what got me is the pigs was looking daggers at us as if we were the dangerous ones. And to a pig, that is true. Because when the white man gets tired of pig shit, just simply doesn't even want to produce anymore, much less rebels against it and puts the pigs to death, then essentially that's going to be the end of the regime. So the pigs were, of course, looking daggers at us as if we were far more dangerous than all these niggers and the rest here. Now, in the short term, niggers are more dangerous. But what we represented was pretty well the fall of Zog, Babylon, so the pigs were looking daggers at us. You know, just like pigs do, talking happy horse shit about, oh, how they meant well and all this other good shit. But folks, that's what I keep on telling, you know, folks here, is that in order for the white race, you know, Yahweh's servant nation of Israel to survive, what we need to happen is we need to have happen a complete economic, social, financial, military collapse, so that everyone is scrambling for what little remains, and that there is no power center to go ahead and destroy us through peaceful genocide, or essentially throw us in prison or do anything. What happens is that we need to have whites become whites again here and not stupid wiggers. And folks, it is our evil regime which is pretty well putting the end to us, and is going to go ahead and put the end to us, unless we, when the time is right, and the time is coming soon, when the Great Tribulation strikes, is that we use that to go ahead and destroy the Uyghurs. The Uyghurs who are indeed keeping us down because they want to die, just like they wanted to die on Zog Babylon the First back in Noah's day, and just like they want to die today in Zog the Third and the Final. So what we have, as always, is a Uyghur problem. And that's always, always, always had. And also, you know, I've gone ahead and offered the DVD to be mailed out of the Topeka Advance, and also I can jam in on the Movement Turds. I got about, what, three and a half gigabytes or so on 16 kilobytes per second audio. So essentially I'll go ahead and give what I can of the Movement Turd. If you want to go ahead and specify, and I just charge $5 because, you know, the DVD doesn't cost that much. The case doesn't cost that much. It costs, you know, probably DVD and case cost about $1. Mailing costs about another $1.50 or so. So it's about $2.50. And essentially, if you want to go ahead and get a DVD, sent to PastorLinsta@gmail.com. And I have sent out one to Billy Roper, and I sent another one out to another fellow, and I'm hoping that they will figure out a way to put it up on YouTube. And folks, I encourage you to put it up on YouTube if you can, and if you know how to do it, go ahead and give me a link so I can go ahead and link it to my forum and the rest of the stuff here. So essentially, it's a raw audio, and it is, I think, of immense historical interest. You had Alex Linder. He's running wild, you know, acting about how tough he is. Name the Jew, name the Jew. Well, he had a misunderstanding with this little dark Swiss guy, two-thirds the size. And when Linder named the Jew, and he thought the character was a Jew, he acted like some little dark Swiss guy was going to go ahead and kill his worthless ass. I mean, Linder is a total coward. I didn't have that recorded, but, you know, shoot. You have these people who went on to do different things. You had Craig Cobb, went on with his little bitty video camera and became, well, I guess, sort of a YouTube and Podblank, you know, producer. You had Billy Roper, who was very, very competent. He's made a number of bad decisions, I think, in supporting people in dual seed line Christian identity who don't really amount to something. I really can't offer Billy Roper anything because I am not setting up any organization or anything. I'm telling you folks to, in a sense, not go ahead and join in, you know, any organizations, because the people in it are worthless or zogbots or spies or retards. Essentially, you need to save yourself. But in any case, I've heard that Billy Roper is going to go ahead and make friends or buddies with Gillette, and I think that's a total mistake, just like it was with Rick Spring, because Rick Spring announced what everybody knew, that he was a federal agent. But Billy Roper has relatively level heads. If you go ahead, you can look at him running that circus. If you go ahead and look at what a wonderful speaker Alex Linder is, he's not. What a wonderful leader he is, he's not. I mean, folks, if you want to go ahead and see, well, I think a tard, why, go ahead and look at this video, or get this video sometime when it gets on YouTube, or if you go ahead and send a DVD to me here. So $5 ain't too much. I'm not really making any much of a profit or anything like it, and that's not my, you know, that's not my intent. And I have gone ahead and sent out two for free. And folks, you know, if you can make the point, if you don't have $5, well, hey, I might send you one for free anyway. If you give me a mailing address, as to Pastor Lindstedt, Lindstedt at gmail.com. No space between Pastor and Lindstedt. Just all one word. And in any case, folks, you can go ahead and do that. But what I want to go ahead and say is that this rally was very, very instructive. It pretty well showed what white nationalism was in 2004, and I don't think it's ever gotten any better. In fact, I think it's gotten worse. In the show, we'll have Russ Walker. I interview him, and then we have other sections about what was going on at the time. I think we have, what? Oh, this is section A, B, C, D, E, F. So we have about five sections. It'll amount to about, 3 hours or so. Maybe not quite 3 hours, but about 3 hours or so. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead and get to it. And I hope you go ahead and enjoy. I've been rather late in putting up this episode, but I guess better late than never. So, folks, hail victory.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop.
Okay, folks, this is episode number 83.5 of the Movement Third. Tonight is August 18th, 2011. We don't have too many people who have showed up yet for the show, which is okay. I mean, it's not always perfect. I'm waiting for Rustafur to go ahead and call in a minute. So, in any case, got the thing running, as far as I know. And I have the MP3 running. And that's the easiest way to go ahead and run this show. It really is. Now, someone absolutely has to go ahead and speak. What I will do is I'll just go ahead and raise the sound level up. And then go ahead and record an interview. Just give it a little time. It's sort of like talking on the moon because there's a delay factor in this show because it is live to prevent people from saying too much. And also they can edit it out as they want. But it looks like across the world in the Zogland you went down by 400 some points. Because your average Wigger figured out that essentially the purpose of having him in there was to screw him. So your average Wigger just sent an order to sell as getting out of the stock market and putting into money. And essentially the Wigger, average Wigger is just going to go ahead and just hunker down. Now, I was reading this article in the Atlanta about Atlantic Magazine, which is probably as intellectual a magazine for mass consumption as there is. And the Atlantic Magazine said something about how the middle class is fading. There's a big hole in it. And how essentially you have what these economists have called plutonomy, to where you have less than 1% going ahead and making so very much money, just skimming it off the top, and they call it plutonomy, as a plutarchic economy. Now, folks, the plutonomy isn't going to be very stable because who goes ahead and defends it? Who wants to go ahead and defend it? And it looks like Troublemaker is listening in. And if he wants to go ahead and give me a call, he can. We have plenty of time. But a plutonomy, who's going to go ahead and defend it if it's just nothing more than Shabbos wiggers and Jews who are running it, who are living off it? By the way, the Japan and South Korean stock exchanges have gone down by about 3% or so. And that's pretty well what it was today. It was the fourth lowest one, because you had one which was, 639, then one that was 500, then one that was higher, 400, now this one, which was down by, 420 points, about 3% or so. And essentially, it's already closing. Essentially, people are running away from the stock market. Now, some of it is caused by, stealing. It's caused by these trading outfits, which are stealing people blind by going ahead and churning an offer for a stock and then taking it back and trying to make a fraction of a cent by simply churning stocks here. And really what they ought to do is they ought to go ahead and charge about $1,000 fine for every single time you have these bogus computer operations simply making bogus, claims or counterclaims and not having any intention on actually buying or selling stock. Just simply by means of going ahead and munching as a free rider, as a parasite off the stock market. And if you're just going to go ahead and be cheated on the stock market, so why should you go ahead and play? At least, like Maui Patricia, you can go ahead and get married twice in one day. Someone went ahead and came up with the Eli or James 31st of July talk show chat, and you had, well, me, Trolling McFag, and Eli James, of course, but you also had Maui Patricia show up about, 20 minutes into it and tell about how she was having fun in Vegas. She was having fun in Vegas. She was getting married and divorced and married and divorced, and then she found this Aryan with blonde hair and green eyes, but he wasn't too good in bed, so she got to go. She went ahead and had a divorce made. From what I gather, she had a Christian identity, marriage and divorce, real quick. The bartender witnessed it here. You know what I mean? So Maui Patricia is, I just went ahead and found a term called condom you. It denicks a whore who goes ahead and bucks back here when you're doggy humping her here from the rear here with a condom. She's a condom you. CONDOMEWE. She's a condom you. And a mamsurus hibernigerus here, condom you. Speaking of which, you have a picture of her on the internet? Yeah, a picture of her. She had sort of reddish hair, but, she looked like a mamsurus. I bet this was Russ for calling. Hello, Russ, is that you, I guess?
It's me, it's me.
Yeah, well, let's just, Frank and Rigger is hoping that Maui Patricia is joking, but the July 31st conversation had, essentially for the first time ever, Eli James went ahead and blocked Maui Patricia. Maui Patricia was just...
What was
that? She was unrepentant. She was just going ahead and saying that she had found out that according to Christian Identity Doxology, it wasn't a piece of paper issued by the state which made you married. It was the act of sexual intercourse.
It's garbled with the Christian identity was not what?
Christian identity, supposedly. See, we don't go ahead and usually get a paper marriage license from the government. We don't recognize the government as anything other than Zog Babylon. And we don't recognize that the fruits of that marriage, like children, are the property of the state. So pretty well Christian identity is held is that marriage is a...
At any rate, why don't you get on the program and start going over the program so we can hear this?
The program, it is on here. I'm recording it.
It says call will be starting shortly, but I can't hear anything on the...
You can hear me, and you can probably hear your computer, although you can't hear your computer.
I can hear you on the phone. I don't hear anything on the computer.
Well, yes, because they know that you've called in. Or they don't know you've called in. I don't know why you can't hear anything on the computer. But if I went ahead and had you on the computer, my background computer is lowered, the sound card is lowered down to 5 points. So the reason for that is that I don't want to have anything that TalkShoe can go ahead and grab a hold of.
I now hear something totally different coming over the thing, not your voice. But anyway, let me hang up, or should I hang up and watch?
No, don't hang up.
Okay.
You're doing okay. You're doing okay right now. Essentially, I am recording it on MP3 for the show, and the MP3 player records so much better than the TalkShoe does. And if I want to go ahead and upload the show, I can go ahead and do so. But I find it...
What you're saying now, what's coming over the computer, are two very different things.
Well, yes, there's always a, what, about a 5 to 30 second, there's a 5 to 30 second relapse in case somebody goes ahead and says something they shouldn't have.
We've been talking for 2 minutes now. Anyway, let me just listen on the phone right now and not say anything.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and turn the computer speakers down and say whatever the heck you're going to say, and you can go ahead and hear it over the phone.
Okay.
See, this is not being recorded on TalkShoe.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pain. I mean, I sort of figured out a long time ago, I went ahead and wasted 90 minutes going ahead and having the thing on, having the speakerphones on.
Well, Mark, what's coming over the radio is we've been talking for a couple of minutes now. None of this it's a totally different conversation.
Of course it is. There's always a break in talk show. There's a break in what is said on the phone. That's why some people call...
Within 30 seconds.
Huh?
it's a lot more than 30 seconds.
Okay, it's a lot more than 30 seconds. What do you want me to do about it?
Okay.
I mean, right now, Russ, I am recording this conversation on the MP3 player that I have. I have one hand my, well, my cell phone, to which I'm talking in, and what happens is that the guest can go ahead and hear it, and pretty well the computer can go ahead and pick it up. It'll have a delay, but you are hearing it instantaneously because you're on my home phone.
What's the deal with this Mallory Patricia? Is that her real name, or is that a joke name? Or
her name, her real name, supposedly, and you don't know who anybody really is on the internet.
But is she a babe or is she ugly?
Well, Frankenhager is sort of hot for her here. She thinks she's sort of cute. I've gone ahead and come out. I discovered a new term within the last week called condom you. Which indicates a sort of slut who goes ahead and when you're humping her doggy style, she goes ahead and backs into your dick, when you're wearing a condom. So I call her a condom you. Frankenhager thinks she's, cute here. I went ahead and looked at her Facebook page along with Jewel Mosley. Jewel looks like a frog. He looks like a...
I've never seen a picture of him either.
He looks like a sort of, he looks sort of like Danny DeVito, but sort of twisted.
Huh? He's seriously crippled, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's seriously crippled. He had a picture on him, and he looks like a frog is what he looks like.
Mm.
And he's not a handsome Israelite at all. Well, I see a picture of Mallory Patricia, and what happens is Patricia Aiken, and she had red hair, Ronald McDonald hair nearly, and what happens, though, she has burnt cork eyes here, so I think she's a mamzeress. But in any case, Frankenhager likes her. Frankenhager likes her a good deal. Well, anyway, about a couple weeks ago, Eli James had a special program wherein Greg Howard, another tard, and Patricia Aiken, or Mary Patricia, she may have used to live in the island of Maui. What happens is that Finkelshiny got all mad at Mary Patricia because right around time they had a big old fight, Mary Patricia said that she was a psychiatric nurse. She used to work at a nut house, and she said Bill was insane. He needed to go ahead and be medicated for seasonal affective disorder. And ever since then, she's joined you, me, Eli James, and a few other characters I've never heard of on Zogbots.org. And now she's Mouthy Patricia, and he took a picture of her supposedly, and she looks like a total mamzerous, and I don't think that's actually her. I did see a picture of her on her Facebook account. I think that is her. But what happened?
I'm going to search right now on the internet, just curious at the things.
Okay.
But I mean, what? If the name shows up, doesn't mean it's necessarily her or not. I don't know.
Okay. Well, supposedly she was friends with Jewel Mosley, and Jewel Mosley, what happens is that he showed a few pictures of him. You're sort of like Brian Reel until Brian Reel got showed up to be a mamzer, and then Brian Reel took his profile here, private or whatever.
Here it shows a Mrs. Mallory 2010 Patricia Tavares, TAVARES in Hawaii. Is that her? Or is this
No. I think she used to be in Hawaii, so she called herself Maui Patricia. Finkelshiny calls her Mouthy Patricia. He don't like her since she said something about going ahead and doping old Finkelshiny up. But anyway, a couple weeks ago they had a discussion on marriage, and Eli James was talking about how sexual intercourse made you married.
Oh, Bill had that same horseshit too.
Okay, well, see, what happens though is that Mouthy Patricia, supposedly on the 31st of July, here I am trolling Eli or James and being mean to McFag McBragg, just making fun of it, McBragg is a tard. And here comes Mary Patricia about 20 minutes in and says, well, hey, I've been listening to you, Eli. And Eli said, oh, yeah, I got two husbands now. And old Eli sort of flabbergasted. You don't know what to say. And she goes ahead and goes on and says, well, you can go ahead and look at the talk shoot thing, and I'm going to go ahead and put it up. Because you know, if you go ahead and read the first 3/5 of the show until Eli ended up blocking all the guests, I mean, I was trolling. I mean, he ended up blocking Maui Patricia too. But she was saying is that, yeah, I got two husbands, and what happens is that the bartender went ahead and witnessed the marriage and divorce. And
the thing came out with this marriage crap. Intercourse creates a marriage. I said, Bill, is Satan married to Eve? And he had no answer.
That's an obvious counter question. Is Satan married to Eve?
If you rape a woman, does that mean she's married to you? I mean, some of the concepts these people come up with totally lack any kind of logic. Or
well, see what happens is you have all these mamsers, you have all these critters. Like Whiny Dave from UK, he was having a shit fit.
Yeah, I guess.
He's a wee lost mamzer of himself here, and he's a self righteous character. He's a Pharisee.
UK.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Whiny Dave from UK. And essentially, you're best off having him being an open enemy than being your friend, because if he's your friend, he's gonna screw you, and screw you good sooner or later. But he was calling Rocka Rocka Rocka. He was calling fool, you know, to everybody. So he was going ahead running his mouth off, but if you go ahead and read the actual transcript, it's like a bunch of Jew joke writers wrote it, because here you have me trolling the crap out of Eli James. You know, I'm trolling the crap out of Eli James and McFag. Meanwhile, Maui Patricia said, "Well, yes, Eli. What happens is that essentially she had sex with two guys here, and her first husband was an Aryan who is blonde with wonderful green eyes, but he was no good in bed, so I had to divorce him."
She does. What she does is her business.
Well, of course it is, and the reason it's her business, and the reason I think it's her business, is that even the Worldwide Church of God used to have a big fight way back in the 60s and 70s about divorce and remarriage, to where if you got married somewhere else here, well, you were married forever, and the woman could never go ahead and marry again. And it ruined a lot of families who were essentially on their second or maybe even third marriage, who had children, who finally found someone they were compatible with. And essentially, Herbert Arnold said, "Well, you're divorced. You know, I mean, you're an adulteress, and your little children are little bastards." Well, getting on with it, even Herbert Armstrong figured out, you know, and I think Garner Ted pretty well had him, go ahead and decide. He said, "Folks, we are not in the business of recognizing, just as we do not particularly recognize government marriages or civil marriages, we don't recognize every little marriage between African Negroes who worship some little tribal god, or the Japanese, or the Hindus, or the Buddhists, or anything like that. Essentially, what boils down to is if you're married in our church, you're married forever. You know, no divorce or anything like that allowed." Well, about 3 years later, old Herbert found out there's, he married an American Indian, married a squaw named Ramona Martin, and she used to be this Jew named Stanley Rader's secretary. And from what I gather, old Ramona and Stan Rader, the Jew, were plotting to put old Herbert in a nursing home so they could go ahead and go through the money, and then old Herbert had divorced, he was in a big hurry to go ahead and divorce his wife, even though she was married in the church by Garner Ted Armstrong. So Herbert pretty well changed the rules whenever they were inconvenient.
Okay. But Bill Martin, I would like you to sit down and give us your opinion as where we are in a Bible prophecy right now. Now, I talked to, what's his name, the barber in Ohio. I can't think of his name offhand. The German, Emma Heiser.
Emma Heiser
told me a year or two ago that essentially all prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah, he's essentially become a preterist, is what he's become.
Do you essentially agree with that or not?
I agree with none of it.
Okay.
What happens is that
too much is still to happen. We still need a new world order. We still need
no. Let me tell you what happened to Emma Heiser. Emma Heiser has always been jealous of Bertrand Comparet. And there was, I don't know if you ever remember Willie Martin. I knew Willie Martin. Willie Martin understood that he would never be the equivalent of Bertrand Comparet, so he expanded on Bertrand Comparet. Emma Heiser, I've been going ahead and looking. Emma Heiser has always been hostile to Bertrand Comparet, because I guess he thinks he's smarter than that. But you know, what I would ask Emheiser is, how can you go ahead and sit on a radio show run by a mamzer, run by a shit-colored mamzer, a faggot mamzer like Brian Real? How can you go ahead and talk about how only the purest of whites can be Israelites, and here you are on a show run by a shit-colored mamzer with nigger lips, slant gook eyes, named Brian Real, and here's Fink going ahead and talking and worshiping Adolf Hitler and saying Adolf Hitler was the Archangel Michael and all this other shit? How can you possibly do that?
Really? I never heard that before.
Well, I mean, that's what I would ask Emheiser. What happens is that right after I found out that Brian Real actually was, I found out who Floyd Mamzer was on October 29th, and on Halloween the 31st, Eli James called me up. He had a fit. Remember that call? You were on that show.
Yeah, that was a
first. You're slandering Yahweh! But I had to freaking wait until him and Brian Real gave me the results of the DNA test. I said, I don't need the results of the DNA test. Brian Real's a nigger. He looks like a nigger. He ain't white. I know that. And the thing about it is, here's Eli James called me a convicted child molester. He's lying himself like crazy. And essentially, we were yelling at each other. And you had a whole bunch of people, and you had the same one. And I keep on harping about, why does Eli James look like a Jew? I think the reason he looks like a Jew is because he is a Chicago Sephardi Jew. But getting on with it.
Where do we stand in prophecy?
Okay, where do we stand on prophecy? Let me get to it. As one of these trolls who was going ahead and trolling, I think it was as guest number 6 or 9, in November, here I am on Eli James' show. Here's Bill Fink claiming that in his translation of the New Testament, that the actual word was not resurrection, but restoration, and that some monk in the 9th century A.D. changed it. And essentially, you know how much Bill Fink is respected as a Greek scholar among real Greeks. Well, essentially, he went ahead and he went back. But Fink went ahead and says is that the Roman Catholic Church and Justinian and Constantine and all these other kings and the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit for 1,000 years from 500 to 1,500.
Yeah.
And I got Eli James to admit that. Well, anyway, I called, since Eli James said he used to be a Catholic, Brian Rio went to a Catholic university, Fink used to be a Catholic, supposedly. I called them a bunch of papist preterists. And I went ahead and looked up the term preterism, and I found out that it was an invention by the Roman Catholic Church, by the forces of the Jesuits in 1615 or 1619 as part of the Counter-Reformation to go ahead and bring back the Aryan Nordic people back into the Roman Catholic Church. Preterism was an invention of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, you have some preterists like B.F. Harrow and a few other little tards who claim the kingdom of God was established in A.D. 70. But I call them papist preterists. So what happens is old Fink, he is having a fit, and Eli James is having a fit. So he goes over to Emheiser. Emheiser comes up with these two things that supposedly were derived by the Roman Catholic Church, and it's written, doesn't have any scripture, it's written by some German in 1888, something like that, doesn't have a bit of scripture, to where essentially us millennialists who believe that there is first a great tribulation, then there will be a 1,000-year millennium, then there will be a short time when Satan's turned loose, then there will be the great judgment. So, pretty well, both the Protestant, most of the Protestant churches believe in what's called millennialism. The dual seed line, Herbert Church here, 90%, we were taught, 90% of prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. And there's also dual prophecies, to where you have prophecies which go ahead and occur again, 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 under different circumstances. And then you have the dual seed line, which has always been millennialist, and we are viewed as an apocalyptic cult. So, what happens is that Emheiser comes up with a shit to where both millennialism, which is a Protestant view, and preterism is of Roman Catholic descent. And it's altogether horseshit that Emhizer, like a whore, went ahead and made up in order to go ahead and give Bill Fink and Eli James some running room. Now Eli James claims that Fink was put into the pit by Charlemagne in 800 and during the 1,000 years of the Holy Roman Empire till it was done away with after Napoleon. That was when, you know, that was when the 1,000 years was. So now it's 800 to 1,800 according to Eli James. You understand what I'm saying? But,
I don't understand. It's ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. And it's so idiotic that here was when Eli James, it was about the last show they did together, they were discussing the book of Revelation. They get to Revelation chapter 4, and they are saying that the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, you know, the gray horse,
right,
you know, famine, war, disease, pestilence, why, they're not in the future. No, they were during the time of Gaius Marius and Felix Sulla and Julius Caesar. And that occurred anywhere from 100 to, you know, over 105 to 100, you know, to 190 years before John of Patmos in A.D. 69 put to paper. Why would John of Patmos be writing the book of Revelation about something that happened 150, 180 years previously? And that, you know, totally ridiculous. But you got to understand, if you go ahead and say that essentially Satan was put into the pit from 500 to 1500, well, in short, then you've got to go ahead and say that everything from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, up to Revelation verse 20, verse 6, had to occur somewhere before 500 A.D. And essentially Fink goes ahead and says that as if it's true. Eli James goes ahead and is all evasive. So, no. I mean, the true, you know, British Israelite, the true, you know, the one seed line, the dual seed line, and the Protestants, the vast majority of Protestants agree they're millennialists. And what happens is that Fink is called a futurist, and he's called himself a historicist. And that's just a whole bunch of horseshit that Eli James and Clifford Emhizer came up together.
My personal viewpoint about Fink is he can't speak English. The Bible says Ezekiel 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can't speak English here, much less Greek. I mean,
right.
every single person who's...
He thinks he's all screwed up on Judah, and I think he's all screwed up on Paul. That's my personal viewpoint. But at any rate, so now I understand why Emhizer thinks that way, because he and Eli James and think similarly. Okay, I don't agree with them, but that's okay.
Emhizer has just sort of prostituted himself. I was talking about how the Church of True Israel set up somewhere around 1995, 1996, and what it was essentially the people from Wesley Swift's Church of Jesus Christ Christian who didn't agree with Butler bringing in all these criminals, and essentially what they do is that they go ahead and preach dual seed line Christianity, but they don't, you know, I mean, it's simply... What it is, it's mainly Comparé, Wesley Swift, and a few others. Up until you know, May 2009, they used to have Emhizer material on there, but after May of 2009, we started a new year. I don't think either Fink or Emhizer would allow his teaching letters from 2010 to be on there. And if you go ahead and look over the last month or two, couple months ever since the break with Eli James,
mm-hmm.
Essentially Emhizer's page has been altogether taken off, and you get a forbidden error. So essentially they were having a disagreement in 2010, and 2011 sees that essentially you can no longer read Emhizer's material on Church of True Israel. Now I don't know why that is. I think it's a combination of Emhizer and Fink saying, no, we're only going to put this over on Fink's webpage. We're not going to go ahead and put it on yours. And essentially, Emhizer is gone because of his association with Fink, and Brian Real has gone from being respected to being pretty much despised in dual seed line Christian identity. I mean, if I had anything, you know, I don't bother with talking to Emmerhiser. I went ahead and talked to him to find out, you know, the provenance of the AIT course. And essentially I did find out it on a, when Mike Hallamore was speaking to Eli James, and we, you know, me and John Britton were trolling the crap out of him then. But essentially Emmerhiser has just, you know, I mean, how can you go ahead and say that you believe in the Christian identity truth about the purity of the Christian identity race when you're essentially just sitting like a tard, you know, on a Mamser's talk show show? And the answer is you can't. Can you?
Any rate. Okay. So you explained to me why Emmerhiser had the position he had. Now I know.
Well, he's changed his position. He's changed his position to where it's ludicrous.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with changing your position.
There's plenty of things wrong with changing your position, especially if you do it on behalf of Jews and Mamsers to bring them into the church. I mean, I don't believe in changing doctrine. I've been bitched at by Visser. I've been bitched at by Eli James. I've been bitched at especially by Fink, because I don't come up with any new doctrine.
Okay. Martin, but if new information comes out or new understanding takes place, I don't see any wrong with changing doctrine. I mean, I wouldn't change doctrine just for the fun of it, but if a better translation comes out or some historical event takes place which makes something clearer, I don't see any wrong with changing doctrine. Because, hey, if we don't change doctrine, then what you're telling me is what you have or what you believe right now is absolutely 100% perfect. And we know none of us are perfect.
Fine. Do you believe that Satan was put in pit in either AD 70 or AD 500 or AD 800? Do you believe any of that stupid shit?
No, Satan's got a free hand right now. It's worse than ever, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and what happens? You go ahead and look. Essentially, the Protestant and the British Israelite and the dual seed line belief has always been that first we will have a great tribulation, then Satan will be put in a pit for 1,000 years, then we will have the millennium, you know, to where people will not be be deceived by Satan, and because of the great tribulation, you will not have the Mamsers, if you do have Negroes and Chinks and red niggers, they'll all be in their proper place. And the white people, Israel, will be in its proper place, and
Martin,
for 1,000 years.
Martin,
yeah.
Frankenweger says, listen to Comparate's Revelation study on IsraelEct.com, and yes, most of Revelation has happened. So I assume that Frankenweger agrees with Comparate, and that they jointly agree with Emmerhiser.
Well, I have a problem with IsraelEct.com. Let me tell you what the problem with IsraelEct.com is. Okay? The problem with Israel.com is it's been taken over by Gerald Moses. It used to be owned by this goober, you know, in Arkansas, and Gerald Moseley took it over. What happens, Gerald Moseley has gone ass to mouth for 3 weeks with Brian Real. So I wouldn't trust anything that Israel.com says here.
Does IsraelEct.com have, in fact, a true copy of Comparate's Revelation study, or has he...
I don't know. The thing about it is that if I went ahead and looked at I haven't looked at Comparate's Revelation study. I have to go ahead and look at it. But the thing about it is that, you know, if you're going ahead and going according to a percentage, of prophecy, pretty well the understanding has been is that really, most of the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of, you know, the book of where you have Edom being burnt like a stubble. You know, I mean, I went ahead on my, you know, on my revamped Hour of Great Tribulation, you know, sang this song by Dwight, you know, Armstrong from Joel chapter 2 about the mighty warriors and the earth is quaking and the sun and moon become both black. I mean, this has not happened yet here.
Right.
I mean, 90% of this has not happened.
It hasn't happened either. That's a whole
yeah.
time, baby.
I mean, the thing about it, 1,000 years hasn't happened. So when is Satan put into a pit? And the answer is he's put into a pit after the Great Tribulation.
If we assume that revelation is, shall we say, 7,000 years long. That's just a crude assumption.
Well, yeah. I mean, Frank Wigger said that Seth Williams used to be the admin on Israel Elect. What you have is you have a bunch of goobers who have gone ahead, and there is no copyright, really, on Bertrand Comparé or Wesley Swift's material. And what happens is that Seth Griffin, from what I hear, Seth Griffin was running around with this character called Rick Spring, and Rick Spring was a federal agent who pretty well stole stuff off of Pastor Richard Butler's desk here. So he went ahead and, you know, from what I gather, I was looking earlier this year or whatever when Gerald Mosley was gloating about how he got control of IsraelElect.com. You know what I mean? And here's Gerald Mosley here, who's big buddies with Brian Rail, going ass to mouth with him here, and he's bragging that he gets to have a Christian Identity webpage, but, you know, hey, I don't get to. And essentially, Gerald, I think, is just a twisted old man's or faggot. He's been going ass to mouth with Brian Rail, so I would not trust anything that's put up on IsraelElect.com. You know what I mean?
Well, good. I don't know IsraelElect.com for the man on the moon.
Okay.
There's some questions here, that's all.
All right, well, Frank Wigger, the thing about it is that, I don't know, I would tend to question to where you don't have, you know, I don't think that Satan has been put in a pit for 1,000 years yet.
Absolutely.
So when is he put into a pit? Now, obviously, from what I learned when I was...
He's freer than ever right now, it's ludicrous.
He's freer than ever, you know, he's freer than ever here. And the thing about it is if you go ahead and you take as absolute, you know, whatever notion here, you end up, like with Mallory Patricia, essentially going and saying, well, hey, you know, I mean, if it just takes sex to go ahead and be married, well, hey, I went to Vegas and essentially I got married and, oh, he was Aryan. He had blonde hair and wonderful green eyes, but, oh, what happens? He was no good in bed, so I guess she ended up getting, because she don't have a piece of paper or a marriage license, she ended up getting a Christian Israelite divorce. And she went ahead and she found another husband. Now, to her, it doesn't really matter about the divorce. She can go ahead. She can go ahead and pick up 666 men here, and she has 666 husbands here. And to me, it don't really matter, because I don't think Mary Patricia is white. I don't think she's Aryan. So, what difference does it make if she's a condom you or not?
Well, we don't even know what she looks like. At least I don't know what she looks like.
Well, I see a picture, and I think it is. She's sort of horsey faced. She does look Irish. It's just, you know, you're rather beautiful. Dark reddish hair. She does look Irish. It's just that she has, huh?
Is her picture on the internet?
Yeah, her picture was on Facebook picture. She was big buddies with Gerald Mosley. You know what I mean? So what I do is I go ahead, once I got Gerald Mosley's Facebook profile, I was going ahead and looking. Brian Rio's little picture has disappeared. Facebook profile, because, hey, he looks like a mamzer. He went ahead and disappeared that thing soon after, you know, in November. You know, less than a week after, I went ahead and found it by using him here. Then he went ahead and, you know, took his high school picture where he looks like a beaner. So, then we found the Zuqua.com pictures. So, is Mallory Patricia Aryan? The answer is, I don't think she is.
I just did a search for Gerald Mosley on the internet, and I came up with this nigger and his nigger friend. So, doing some.
No. He looks like a sort of Danny DeVito is what he looks like here, but uglier. You know what I mean? You know what Danny DeVito looks like, don't you?
Vaguely.
Okay. No, he's just married to this. You know, he's married to this Jewish named Rhea Perlman, who was on Cheers. You know, and essentially, I'm not, you know, he's a little Guido, possibly a little Guido Sicilian Jew, sort of like Brian Rio and, you know, Cousin Ray the lawyer, Mariani. And essentially, they're just obvious mamzers here. And the thing about it is that when people, I remember years ago when I was in the Libertarian Party, you had these faggots, you know, wanting the Missouri Libertarian Party to vote for recognizing gay marriage. And I said, well, folks, why don't we just simply not recognize one way or the other any state marriage, just simply saying is that, hey, any civil union don't have any relevance because marriage should be a religious institution, not a civil institution.
That's right.
And as a result, you know, the libertarian thing to do is not go ahead and, you know, act like a bunch of social democrats to where we recognize faggots as, quote, marriage. I don't recognize it as marriage. And, you know, I mean, any more than I would recognize a quote, marriage between a rooster and a hen or a bull or, you know, a bull and a sheep or whatever here. It's not really marriage. It's just coupling. It's just copulation.
Well,
and I don't, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's not marriage, and I don't recognize...
No, marriage was only instituted for the House of Israel anyway, not for anything else. It wasn't instituted for queers, faggots, or any other nonsense.
Well, I mean, if niggers want to say they're married, I don't have any problem with it. I don't, it's nothing to me. It really is nothing to me, and that's what the Worldwide Church of God decided to do. They decided that, hey, if you were married outside the church,
yeah,
and then you got divorced, well, what of it?
And
what of it?
If in Numbers 25, if the Simeonite and that Midianites bitch, the one who Phineas killed, were they married? I mean, they comes up with some ludicrous stuff.
Well, I call it ludicrous crap. I mean, hey, they're screwing. Maybe you could say they were, maybe they weren't here, but essentially Phineas went ahead and killed him. And people have
right.
gone. I think I've gone ahead and discussed with you that wasn't race mixing. I mean, people go ahead and read Richard Kelly Hoskins, and they get some stupid little notion into their head about what, you know, about Phineas killed some race mixers. Actually,
that was race mixing. It was Simeonite with a Midianite woman. She wasn't part of the House of Israel.
But she was. I mean, you know where the House of Midian came from?
Do I know where what came from?
You know where the House of Midian came from?
House of Midian? Well, no, I'm sorry, I don't hear you, Martin.
The Midianites came from Abraham's third marriage to Keturah.
Okay.
So what happens is that Moses himself, his wife Sapphira,
part of the House of Israel.
But they were racially the same people as the House of Israel.
You really think so?
Yes, because they were descended from Abraham. They were cousins.
The House of Israel came from Jacob, not from Abraham.
Hmm?
That's what the Jews said. We'd be Abraham's seed.
Well, yes, they're Edomites. But yeah, we already had this conversation about Deuteronomy 23, you know, chapter 23, remember when I told you?
I don't agree with you, but that's okay.
Okay, well, the thing about it is that it wasn't race mixing. The reason that they had this plague is that these Midianite bitches were pretty well Baal worshippers.
But they were not House of Israel. Anyway, look.
Fine. Was Rebecca of the House of Israel?
No.
Was Rachel the House of Israel?
That's right. There couldn't have been any houses. There couldn't have been any women at that time.
Well, they were all women. So was Isaac? Was Isaac race mixing when he married his first cousin?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean,
he wasn't.
Yeah.
Essentially, these people. I mean, I understand that Seth had to marry one of his Adamic sisters. Right?
Right.
Noah married his first cousin.
Martin, tell you what, I'm getting tired.
Okay. Alright, but anyway, you went ahead and talked to Emhizer, and Emhizer is coming up with this historicist and all sorts of stuff he made up.
Where he's coming from, and I think that position is ludicrous. Okay, what else
Okay. Alright, well, and you do agree is that the Great Tribulation hasn't occurred yet, correct?
It has not, because it doesn't come close.
It doesn't even come close. That's in the future. Now, some of us think it's in the near future, and it looks like it's getting nearer and nearer every day. And then after the Great...
Seven says you're allowed to marry your cousin. I think the rules are against that now. I mean, if you go back to Deuteronomy, I don't know.
You had the Roman Catholic Church go ahead to where even it was, you couldn't marry second cousins. You know, essentially...
I don't think you should marry cousins, but that's a sign.
Well, hey, my great-grandfather Charles married his second cousin. I don't know if it fucked me up that much or not.
Someone else get on.
All right, well, I'll let you go ahead.
Good night.
All right. Hell victory. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Russ went ahead and told me what's going on with Emhizer, and... I have not read Compre's Revelation studies here. But I sort of find it sort of strange to how I don't think that Comparé would go ahead and say that we've already had the millennium, much less the Great Tribulation. So I may go ahead and look at it. But folks, Israel Elect is a rather suspicious place because it's owned by, well, a crippled little mamzer faggot who's been playing at Christian Dandy, who got ahead and got from a goofhead who's associated with, Seth Griffin, who is in turn associated with Jonathan Williams and the Rick Spring faction. And folks, that's probably what I'm going to talk about, is a little bit about this old hard drive stuff I've seen from the May 15th, 2004 Topeka rally. So, in any case, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back in just a little bit. Hail Victory.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Okay, folks, we're back. I was just going ahead and looking at something I've seen over on Jeremy Visser's thing here, bitching about Alex Winder. And you had this tard who called himself Oscar, who had all five posts. And he says, it depends on what you mean by, Christianity. And he goes ahead and he goes ahead and does the Christian identity thing here. He said, but back to the original question. As a DSCI adherent of the distinctly non-Marty Lindstedt flavor, I've learned to understand what Christ was preaching and, more importantly, to whom he was preaching. If you're reading this, white girl, white boy girl, ADL agents, FBI tools, and agent props need not heed this and they move on, odds are Christ is talking to you. Okay. You know, and then what happens is Peggy goes ahead and has this person going in screaming. And then Oscar says, "Yeah, I get you. I'm the first to admit the DSCI draws its fair share of crazies. Lynn Stent is one sterling example." Now, folks, one thing I've noticed about Jews, especially Mamzers and Jews playing Christian Andante, is that it seems like they've learned going to the same dang school. They do not spell Linstead correctly, school, because if you go ahead and spell, you know, if you go ahead and type his name in, you will end up getting to what he is saying. And in many cases, you might like what he is saying. So he belongs to little, what I call the little Jew tool pretending to be Christian Danny, or the Jew troll, being a Jew. Essentially, whatever you do, do not spell Linstead's name correctly. Now, previously he spelt my name correctly. Now he has to go ahead and play. They can't spell my name correctly. Fortunately, there are many of us who didn't check our sanity at the door. I try to be rational adult-like when I'm posting online, so I can assure you an intelligent discussion with me at least. Don't let the high-profile psych patients drive you away. Now, folks, this Oscar is either a Jew or a Mamzer, or he might be just a little wigger tard playing at being Christian Dandy. But the thing about it is, though, and this drives a lot of these tards and these retards down the line, in that you have all these Mamzers and Jews and critters like Emheiser who essentially let their hatred of the real dual seed line Christian Dandy teachers like Compere drive them out to where they've got to go ahead and put their own little, you know, alien DNA or mental or spiritual DNA into it, and then they've got to go ahead and change it. Folks, the rest of the VNNF tards and Alex Linder is not buying this shit. And essentially, Linder understands is that, yes, I am, in many cases, the voice in the face of Christian identity, whether or not people like it or not, but particularly the Mams or Tars and the rest. He goes ahead and says, "I'm giving you one post. If you're going further with this shit, do the Tard Corral or you're out of here. We don't tolerate CI garbage here except in the moron section." Well, the answer is that the gut-sick weedle weasel with GS cancer does not tolerate Christianity or anything like that, because hey, he's just a little critter that got something wrong with him, who Pierce went ahead and resurrected as an Asian provocateur. And Trader Glenn Miller, he cannot stand Christian Day, neither can Alex Linder. And folks, if you go ahead and get that thing here, even in May 2004, when he was sort of friendly to me, and he was still patronizing to Pastor Richard Butler. He was the only 85-year-old man there here, and he pretended he didn't even know who Butler was. If you go ahead and look at the DVD. And folks, I just assume people go ahead and put that DVD on YouTube or whatever, and go ahead and put it on there, and find that Linda is not that great a speaker. Essentially, he wrote a rather prosaic speech, and he read from it, and then occasionally he'd howl in the air about Jews and niggers and whatever. I mean, I see him look at me as if to know how to behave, and essentially he's just a little Guido, you know, gut-sick Guido weasel, Jew-ass cancer, playing at stuff here. He'd go ahead and look at me and Billy Roper, see how we did it. And essentially, he would go ahead and monkey see, monkey do. Linder is not an original intellect. Linder never was an original intellect. He just runs a tard corral in which, what, third of the posters are Jews. He does not like Christianity. He certainly does not like Christian identity. Didn't even like Visser going ahead. I mean, he banned Visser here back when Visser was pretending to be nice to me. You know what I mean? While he was going ahead. But you have OTPPT, bitching about it. What doctrine? Bible, scripture, sight phase here. And he said, "So these forums are not a free speech zone after all, except for anti-whites, of course, who are allowed to continually disrupt threats." Then Oscar said, I did not know the VNN had an anti-CI policy. I was told this was a good place to talk with white people. I also heard through the rumor mill that you personally have an annoying habit of running good posters off. In any case, I won't trouble you further. You're bored, your rules, and I'll show myself out the door. Have a good evening, and y'all bless. Folks, this is a somewhat self-righteous Pharisee who goes ahead and plays the stuff here. But going on, OPTT said something here, and then Alex Linder said, yeah, to that, you're not running a free speech zone. And no, Linder isn't. He's running a data mill to go ahead and collect names from people. He goes ahead and he snitched out Bill White. He's just a little weasel that Pierce went ahead and collected to do a second front of spinning with the money that he got from the order. And Linder went ahead and ran it, and once he wasn't able to run it, he's not a businessman. So he had to go with Billy Roper, and here he found money from Terry Glenn Miller, and he was going to ask him out for Terry Glenn Miller, probably in March of 2004, when he found out about Terry Glenn Miller, and Terry Glenn Miller having money. So no, Linder has, Linder used to pretend to run a free speech forum for Fags, which is a Belgian Sephardic Jew data mining center, also pretends to be a free speech forum. But Linder no longer pretends to be a free speech forum. It's not. It's just simply a little quasi-creatard data mining operation run by out of the petty cash drawer of the Department of Homeland Security for Trader Glenn Miller. That's all it is. He goes ahead, he pretends to do something. Now that he's got, he's a little Guido weasel, Jew ass cancer. He got, Crohn's disease. He just goes ahead and impatiently goes ahead and, types in this sort of shit here. But Linder at least went ahead when OP teacher says that these forms are not a free speech zone after all. Except for anti-whites, of course, who are allowed to continually disrupt the ads. That's true. Here's Hattie the Meerkat. Here's Don Pauly. Essentially, Edgar Steele's guilty. Edgar Steele's guilty. Edgar Steele's a liar. Edgar Steele does this. And Linder goes ahead and eats that shit up. Why is that? Well, answer, because, hey, it's just nothing more than a tard corral to go ahead and do data mining. But Linder said, I'm not running this board that was so that every last person is safe from every poster it feels as a troll, disruptor, hijacker, etc. Not a free speech zone? I don't know. It's all relative to me. I know I can say whatever I want here. That works for me. Grin. Yeah. Linder is just a little quitter. They got a little Mamser in it, a little Jew in it, whatever here. Got some stuff in. He pretends to be white. And essentially, Linder don't even have wokeism. He don't even have creatardism. Linder worships at the First Church of Me. He's a solipsist. That's all he is. Essentially, that's pretty well the way the Jews are, except the Jews worship themselves as a race. Linder just worships himself. He's just a total solipsist. So, yeah. He has a tard corral. He has a following of, Mamser and Jew tards playing at being a white nationalist. I don't know why. He's not, he's never done anything other than run a tard corral. He wrote a few spintos, which were just little twistings of what other more talented people wrote. Going on. Yeah, I don't want people, spewing shit known to be false. Division and destructive, and that includes CI, which is based on the lie, the whites or the Jews in the Bible. I don't want that shit near shit in our main forums. CI is almost uniformly loathsome, untrustworthy people, and if allowed, they will do to a forum what kudzu has done to the South. The other kudzu I won't tolerate here is Alex Jones' conspirators, patriotards, and neocons. Well, you don't tolerate anybody. He won't kiss his ass. I have a John Reltney thing here where I went ahead and just simply handed Linder his head about leaderless resistance, and pretty well, John Reltney got banned. essentially what happens is that Linder is just a weak-minded little retard who got some money from Trader Glenn Miller to run a card corral. So essentially, no, it's not a free speech forum because Linder cannot stand free speech. He can't prosper under free speech. Essentially, like I said here, he gets to run his own way. Going on, all three of these schools of rock kids have numerous homes on the internet. Just as the South ain't the South if it's filled with people like me. VNNF ain't VNNF is filled with Jones and neocons and CI. Basically, it's a matter of keeping a tone and posters using some discretion. If I feel they go too far, and he spelled T-O-T-O, so much for Mr. English Major from Pomona, California, who went to journalism school and got kicked out when he got found out to be a liar and then reconditioned by peers. Hey, it all depends on what you decide to be proper English. Lindermeyer doesn't use proper English when don't suit him. And that's all it is. My feeling that I rope it in a la Hudson. Things are more important than free speech, absolutism, and the white cause, and the tone slash quality slash scope of VNNF are two of them. Why, I guess collecting Zog bucks from the petty cash drawer is the white cause here. The white cause is Linder. It's me. Yeah, I can't but be put into rules precisely. It's a feel thing and the judgment call. Well, that's just how it is. I don't pretend it's otherwise or apologize for it. And the answer is no. Especially if you're on VNNF here, you are going ahead and putting up with essentially a third-rate retard who is collecting money and, you know, going ahead and going to ask them out, Trader Glenn Miller. And essentially, you are subordinating yourself to Alex Linder. And that's what it is. That's why you only trust, you know, a little ass kisser like Vargina, Linder, Miller, Meerkat. That's all it is. But he's made Vargina ban some people. He's gone ahead, and if you go ahead and look at it, he has banned quite a few people over the years. A lot of it's envy. A lot of it is understanding that he cannot win any debate or any argument. And he says, and long lists of quotes from the Bible aren't needed, small b. No one reads them, they make people scroll, quit doing it, debating the Bible is for fools. The only quote that read the Bible matters. The devil can quote scripture for his purpose. Everything can be justified using the Bible. That's why it's so popular with people who can't think. Or unpopular with people who can't think, like Alex Linder here. So, anyway, I went ahead and looked at it. Yeah, anyway, old Mike Todd goes ahead and makes fun here. Now, you have some people going ahead and arguing about this sort of thing. It goes on for a number of other posts. I'm not sure where to go ahead and look at it. Let me go ahead and see what's going on in the chat room. I don't know if Steve the Elder is married to an engine, what of it? I mean, shoot, old Steve the Elder, or McFag or something like that. McFag is, you know, he made the mistake of calling himself a proud pick, and then once everybody heard proud pick, they said, oh, Tubal Kenite Manzer, here, Tubal Kenite Jewish Manzer. And essentially it shows how much think. Oh, yeah, I seen that here. Yeah, He's a turd. He's your friend here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, somebody went ahead and said he was married to a squaw who essentially got a government job. And, hey, I mean, squaws do that. Maybe she feels like she's lucky being married to McFag or something here. You know what I mean? So I'm not seeing anything new. Let me go ahead and see if my thing is even working. And yes, it is working here. We don't have much. We don't have too much here. I'm going to go ahead and go on with this thread and see what else I see, because it goes on quite a bit. And folks, that's true here. I mean, I'm on VNNF. I do not post on VNNF. I'm on Four Fags Feeds. I do not post on Four Fags Feeds. I'm on Spermfront. I do not post on Spermfront. I'm on Whigger News Now. I do not post on Whigger News Now. Now, if I see a good item, the reason that I'm on there is so that I can go ahead and find the number of it and move it elsewhere. Okay? So, some guy is going ahead and... Anyway, OPT goes ahead and quotes about... So you're saying the Israelites were people from an area that is today southern Russia? Because that's where the modern-day Jew originates. And they go ahead and talk about Kazakhstan. About the Khazar Empire. That was founded, they were around the 600 or so who showed up. Foreign empire got destroyed in the 900 by Prince Vladimir's grandson Stanislav. And OPT goes ahead and mentions it here. So you have these Khazar Jews here, and essentially Linder is not having any of it here. OPTT, the fool said in his heart there is no God. And he quotes Psalm 14:1. He says, that verse is possible for fools. It justifies their foolishness. It's not a Bible, it's not a Bible verse. And then Linda says, it is 2 plus 2 equals 4 here. He says, nice shit, Charlie Brown. You know how people make death threats, and death threats against people's children. Nice board, Alex. He says, you're a typical piece of shit Christian lunatic. You're lucky I allow you to post here at all. Okay. He says, okay. You have these retards. Oh, Leonidas got banned. Okay, I guess he got banned for some reason here. And then old Leonidas, he got banned, says, I have to admit, Alex Linder is a million times more tolerant than Christian message boards. Every single Christian message board on the internet is moderated out-and-out bald faces or worships. We'll simply go ahead and do that here. Okay. You go ahead and have this, yeah, this Leonidas, he made 92 points. He joined in July 2011. He lasts about maybe a month or so, maybe less, 2 weeks to a month. So, he didn't last too long. So, we're getting on to number 4. So, Leonidas goes on and on and on, and he finally does get banned. So, you have all these other critters here, senior members, and essentially a kissing Linder's ass here. But I'll go ahead and probably put on my forum where old Linder is just running wild. And essentially, what boils down to is that Linder worships himself. And there, as long as you understand that, you have nothing new to really understand. I mean, Linder is just simply Linder. Now, going on there, you have these retards, Donald Pauly and Hattie the Meerkat, and essentially all they can do is go on and on and on about how Edgar Steele was crazy. They would have done far better, or Edgar Steele's a liar, and he went ahead and plotted to kill his wife. And Linder went ahead and let Hattie on soon after Steele got convicted. Why? And the answer is that Linder doesn't really care for anybody or himself. And now that Linder was convicted, he didn't have to go ahead and pretend to support Edgar Steele. Edgar Steele can go ahead and get out as best he can. Now, folks, my solution is that Edgar Steele is just pretty well screwed. But the Christian identity solution is not to go ahead and worry about innocent people being screwed. The purpose of Christian identity is help bring about the Great Tribulation so that all the guilty and all the Mamzers and all the Jews and all the Whiggers will die in the Civil War. Will die in that, in what is going to go ahead and come about. Linder equates the white nationalist cause with himself, as you can go ahead and read. And essentially, if that's the case, then the white cause really is screwed, because Linder is just simply just a self-worshipping little Guido weasel Jew ass cancer. That's all. Who's collecting money from Trader Glenn Miller? That's all. And what you have in the case of, well, these retards going ahead and shitting on Edgar Steele. Now, you have a few people going ahead and defending Edgar Steele who are realizing is that, hey, these people hate Edgar Steele. They're just like Jim Royd Ray's retard Giles. And a year and a month or so ago, over a year ago, I deliberately goaded Jim Giles into screaming his hatred of Edgar Steele about how he wanted to go ahead and snap the neck of a sick old lawyer a dozen or more years older than him, who was not in nearly very good shape, who'd gone ahead and had surgery, heart surgery, who was ailing simply because pretty well Edgar Steele realized that Jim Giles was just simply a retard, who goes ahead and admits that he's an agent provocateur, that yes, he's gone ahead and informed on people. And essentially, I end up getting my message accomplished. Now, if Alex Linder knew the name of my sock puppet, that sock puppet would be banned, because Alex Linder cannot go ahead and win any real debate, even when it's me under a different name. Linder is just simply a tard who runs his own little greater free-range tard corral, collects money from Trader Glenn Miller. That's all he is. So what he does, he allows an obvious beaner named Valdez to shit over it because, hey, Linder can go ahead and win over beaners. Because Linder is whiter than a beaner. So, hey, that beaner is no threat to him. He might be a disruption or something like that, but he don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with that at all. So, essentially, Linder's tart corral has gone ahead, and what strikes me is if you go on old threads from 2005, even after the Christmas coup, you look at all these people who have been banned so long that they're reduced to the status of guests. You go ahead and you look at these people who got banned simply for being themselves, I guess. So, VNNF, and this goes into last week's show, is that every little tard has his own tard corral. And that's been the case ever since the bowel movement came in. You have these little tards who show that white nationalism doesn't work because essentially it's just run by selfish, self-seeking retards. Be it over at Four Fags Thebes, which pretends to have some intellectualism but doesn't. It's critters like Capon Okoklis or Kevin O'Keefe. You have Sephardic Jews who get outed as government workers working to go ahead and do data mining. Essentially, what you have is you have a bunch of critters who don't know how to act. Or when they do know how to act, they act to do nothing but evil. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close this portion about VNNF, and we'll go on to the next, thing to go ahead and say. And what I'm probably going to go ahead and say is I'm going to go ahead and flog the 2004 the May 15th, 2004 Topeka anti-Brown rally. Okay, I got a letter from, I got an email from Billy Roper. I'll go ahead and send him, I'll go ahead and send him a DVD, of course, because I said I would send him one for free. So, folks, we'll be back in the next section. Hail Victory.
Your daddy and your mother and your crazy ex-lover. We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the dimples on your chin, the polish on your toes and the run in your hose. And God knows we're going to talk about your clothes. You know talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while, I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. We talk about your Nana up in Muncie, Indiana. We talk about your grandma down in Alabama. We talk about you guys of every shape and size, the ones that you despise and the ones you idolize. We talk about your heart, about your brains and your smarts and your medical charts and when you start. You know talking about you makes me grin. But every now and then, I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, you usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. 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 Want to talk about I. Want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my. What I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
Okay, folks, we're back, and someone went ahead and showed up here. He's wanting to head to the northwest here, and from around the Midwest somewhere, and he's looking for a job in Seattle. And from my Gary, he's going to get a job up around there, and he's going to move northwest like he's wanted to in his chosen profession. And so I'll go ahead and put the chat. I mean, it's in the information technology field of some sort. I'm not quite sure. I don't really inquire. So we'll go ahead and pray that Northwest goes ahead and finds a good job and essentially does well up there. Folks, I've never had any real animus against Harold Covington. I don't have much use for some of the critters he hangs around with, especially Steve Elder, a.k.a. McFag, Commandork McFag. I was laughing at this here thing with Maui Patricia, where she's hot to trot, and meanwhile I'm trolling, and McFag is just, being an ass clown, and Eli James don't know what to go ahead and make of it. Being a Jew with a mamzerus, going ahead and marrying and marrying and marrying and divorcing and marrying and whatever in Vegas, and then tell Pure Lil, you know, Pure Silly to come down and get her some here. And maybe I'll make a Maui Patricia parody song about we were married in a fever, hotter than a chili sprout. We've been talking about Vegas ever since the vibrator batteries ran out. But if you go ahead and read the Eli James talk show account of July 31st of this year, I mean, two-thirds of it could have been written, if a Jew knew that much about Christian identity, it could have been written by, well, a Jew screenwriter. It's just freaking hilarious. Well, me, Troll McFag, and Eli James having to go ahead and deal with a Manzarek who was pretty well spouting his position and embarrassing the crap out of me. He ended up going ahead and blocking her, too. He ended up blocking all the trolls, so the last two-thirds of it is not nearly as funny as... especially old Eli is trying to handle a horny Manzarek and a number of trolls, a.k.a. me, on about three computers. Oh, by the way, I was reading today that Hewlett-Packard is deciding to get out of the computer business, even though it's the number one supposed, well, not really maker of, you know, of computers, the number one marketer of computers, let's say. So like Anheuser-Busch has gone from a manufacturing company to a marketing company. And, well, essentially that's what it is. I mean, all these Japanese corporations no longer even make electronics, I think, in Japan. They make them either Korea or China or wherever else is low price. And they've done that for some time, for at least, what, 8 or 9 years. So I was hearing about that. You know, well, whatever happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas altogether. So, Maui Patricia is hot here. Well, you could go ahead and be. You can go ahead and. what happens is make sure that you go ahead and wear a double condom when you're getting some from Maui Patricia. Condom you. I got to go ahead. I think I'm going to go ahead and create a sock puppet called Condom You. Anyway, but hey, you know, getting all of it, I have infiltrated McFag's. I've infiltrated McFag's Tard Corral list here. Northwest, Chimperative Reserve Sangria. You know what I mean? Or Sangria Reserve. You know, they said it tastes, you know, it was like a wine here. And essentially, you end up having about the same sort of tars that you have on Harold Covington's Facebook page. And I urge Harold Covington, don't worry what happens on the Facebook page. Just let the tars run wild, including, well, this tard, I guess. And, you know, after the first couple of days of mutual congratulation of each other for about, congratulating each other for about a day or so, essentially, you had about three-quarters of the posts that were on Covington's Facebook page being posted on on Steve Elder's webpage or Facebook page. And now you don't have hardly anything going on at all. It's become a tard corral with, well, essentially, idiot tards. Now, I was looking, oh, by the way, before this came in, and by the way, I got these segments on 83.5. I went ahead and worked on them this afternoon, and I don't have them all together yet. I will post it this morning or tonight. Try to get Sunday show up. Work on tomorrow's Hour of Great Tribulation, which will be a church service. And I'm thinking of either doing a sermon on Lot's wife, you know, desperately seeking Sodom or loving Sodom, or a sermon about solipsism, about how it's a standard thing called the First Church of Me. I'm not quite sure which one to go ahead and do. But, Tuesday night, I was looking at some old stuff from an old hard drive that, essentially I bought a box and a power supply, and you take your hard drives out from your old computers and you put it in there, and that has a USB, and you run it through a computer to a new, you know, to a new, what, terabyte drive that cost $70 that I bought. And essentially, I went ahead and found the Topeka event. I went ahead and found the Topeka, you know, the Topeka MP3 thing here. I'm trying to figure out, and maybe Northwest, you can go ahead and send me an email with your address, send it to you a DVD or something like that, and figure out how to go ahead and put the thing up on MP3. And, oh, by the way, Morse Gillette has his own Aryan Nation church, and he doesn't talk about a single thing about how he got kicked out by Butler and Redfern. And essentially, he's calling himself Aryan Nations. And I'm going to ask Billy Roper about that. Why he's going, because him and Gillette never did love one another. And what's with going ahead and having Eli James and the rest of these critters running around? Where does Eli James get the money to, you know, play it being this? And the answer is, well, because he's a Zogbot. Old Buck McHugh was all ass hurt about the last movement turd that was up. And he's just all mad because, well, I said quite truthfully that both him and Pastor John Britton didn't consult me with making peace with Eli James and Brian Real, and still Brian Real went ahead and betrayed him. Him and Eli James went ahead and still reported John Britton to the FBI for, oh, allegedly say he's going to shoot Brian Real. And, you know, reported to the Lake County Sheriff's Department, Brian Real did, you know, or did, not Eli James, but essentially Eli James and Brian Real, both being Jews and Mansers, broke their word. Didn't go ahead and keep their word. And pretty well, you know, Buck was all pissed off because, hey, I said he was a pussy. And the truth of the matter is, hey, he is a pussy. I mean, you go ahead and you make a deal with a Jew or a Mamzer, and then you whine like a pussy about how the Jew and Mamzer lied to you. And, hey, you don't go ahead. I mean, I wouldn't have told Buck they couldn't do it. I wouldn't have told John Britton he couldn't do it. Because, essentially, I don't get to tell them what to do. They're free will, and they get to do whatever the hell they want to. But I would have told them and said, hey, you can't make a deal with a Jew. You can't make a deal with a Mamzer. I mean, shoot, it's like, you know, like having Whiny Day from PUK as an ally. You're better off having him as an open enemy rather than having him as a friend who's just going to go ahead and stab you in the back like Whiny Dave and Brian Real and the rest do here. Old Buck was a big buddy. Buck was a big buddy of Brian Real. And Brian Real went ahead, and when he figured out the old Buck had gone ahead and betrayed him, well, folks, the truth of the matter is, and I went ahead and said, is that Buck didn't, you know, I asked Buck for your real name, but he wouldn't give it to me. I asked Buck for the name of Victor Switzer, and he wouldn't give it to me. So, I mean, and Buck heard William Fink gloat about how he was fooling me and Pastor John Britton by going ahead and make it to where only me and Pastor John Britton and him and maybe Matt Twat Zogbot could go ahead and read the forum that they go ahead and made super secret, super private, and how, you know, this criminal's gloating and laughing about it. Like a Jew criminal who just pulled a fast one on Goyim and just think he's the cleverest thing ever. And Buck was whining that I called him a pussy. Well, folks, Buck is a pussy. Now, John Britton, he just went ahead and went along with it. He didn't really put anything into it because he didn't have anything to put into it. John Britton doesn't have a webpage. John Britton doesn't have a blog. John Britton didn't have any pictures, you know, other than the Zuqua ones that he got from Kane here that he got on his own. Essentially, John Britton just went ahead and went along with it, even though he told Buck it's probably not going to work. But, hey, you know, John wanted peace. Well, what happens is that he lost nothing by it. Buck ended up going ahead and whining to Skype assholes and asked them to take it down, and people at Skype assholes told me it was that Brian Rowe had taken it down. So Buck lied to me. Well, hey, no big deal. No big deal. But, you know, shoot, Buck, I mean, if you don't have the strength of character to be strong, well, fine, live with it. But don't whine that you are a strong character when you're not. All these people want to pretend to be something that they're not. Like, you know, Eli James want to pretend to be a Christian identity pastor when he's a Jew. You know, Steve Elder McFagg, who can't even give his own real freaking name here, and he lies to other people. Pretend to be something, you know, when he's just a tubal kidnight, pick the schnamzer, coward, running around playing with guns here and worshiping, well, essentially his guns or whatever. Brian Real, whatever. Brian Real, nigger, you know, a nigger lipped, slant eyed, shit skinned beaner faggot, pretend to be a white supremacist and Christian identity mini pastor. All these critters pretend to be what they are and then coming up with all these little pharisaical rules when they simply cannot bear the law at all. And so, I've gone ahead and had my doubts about Harold Covington being able to make something, like I said. He's trying to make bricks, not only not without straw, but without clay. He's making that shit. But he said that he has found some people with a scouting expedition who are going ahead, and he is making traction. Folks, I do believe he's making traction. I believe, though, is that you have a lot of Uyghurs who are running away from the shithole they've made. And what has happened? You know, I've listened this morning. It came out. I've listened to his Rivers of Blood, you know, condensation of Enoch Powell's 1968 speech. I knew it was made in the 60s, mid or late 60s, and that's when it was made. And folks, it's just like Gene Raspail's 1972 book about what will allegedly happen on Easter of 1999 called Camp of the Saints, to where the frogs would not have the will to gun down a million Ganges scum who had gone ahead and gone in refugee boats and landed in the province, on the province of the French Riviera. Folks, Gene Raspail and Enoch Powell were quite correct. In fact, they understated what would actually happen. It's far worse than what they even thought it would be. But folks, once you've gone ahead and told people what's going to happen, and yet they do nothing about it. They pretend and they get down on anybody else who dares say what the truth of the matter is. Folks, don't Uyghurs want to die? And the answer is, of course they do. Uyghurs want to die. And let's understand that. Let's understand about Uyghurs. Let's understand their nature. Let's understand that, yes, they want to die. They're determined to die. They're really seeking the Great Tribulation, which will go ahead and finish them off. And part of them don't want to die. Part of them wants to go ahead and live a little bit longer, but they're just like Alex Leonard, a little gut-sick little Guido weasel with two-ass cancer who probably does not find life worth living that much and who cannot even admit to themselves who or what they are and where they're headed. So, I don't know. I mean, I just hear really reactive stuff throughout this bowel movement. I hear, you know, I'll listen to Morris Scalette's little Aryan Nation thing. He was talking about Constitution, about, oh, how niggers and the rest would not go ahead and be allowed to live. But, folks, Morris, I mean, look, Mo Gullet, how are you going to go ahead and get there from here? And now Mo Gullet has a little South African project. He's wrapping himself around dead South African farmers and South African babies. But how's he going to go ahead and cure that? Well, he's going to go ahead and get a whole bunch of stupid young warrior tards to go ahead and run around in uniform and get their name in the police files for nothing other than to please Morris Gullet's little swollen ego. Folks, he has $500,000 from Harold Grooms. He could just simply preach a dual seedline Christian identity sermon and leave it at that. He could go ahead and expand on Bertrand Comparé, but no, he's not no scholar. He's not no writer. He's a wannabe organizer who, the only time he went ahead and organized something is he organized this one character named Charles Scott Thornton into prison. And by the way, I talked with Mr. Thornton about 3 days ago. We had a polite conversation. Now, he wasn't calling me a child molester, and I wasn't calling him a creatard manzer. But what he's done is he's gotten out of Christian identity, he's gone to creatardivity. And I wish him well in creativity. But I'm not sure if he's white or not. But it doesn't really matter. Because, folks, once you've gone ahead and been caught by Zoller because of your own stupidity, you got to wonder what ended up happening to you. Now, I go ahead and say quite outright is that essentially I showed Zog nothing but contempt. There was no deal. Essentially, the case fell through. Zog was trying to go ahead and destroy me. Oh, by the way, they're going to go ahead and rebuild. They're going to go ahead and rebuild St. John's, which is a Catholic hospital, supposedly. Has a whole bunch of mamzers and all that, you know, doctors here. They have this piece of shit named Scott Watson, who used to be the Newton County prostitutor, who went ahead and, you know, did nothing while they stole my grandchildren in 2004, and then went ahead and filed this bogus child molestation charge against me while I was trying to get them back. And he became the little head of human resources. So, folks, I have an idea. I'm going to go ahead and announce the building of St. Gustavus, Gustav Adolf. St. Gustav Adolf. Because it has a name, well, of course, of the Swedish king, which every true Swede likes here, you know, and reveres, of Gustavus Adolphus, but also of Adolf Hitler, too. So, St. Gustav Adolf. And what's going to be practiced is Swedish homeopathic remedies here, which means that what you do is when you find you a mackerel snapper, you go ahead and you piss and shit in a tin bucket, and you go ahead and you throw it down your throat, and that is going to be my response to anybody who gets treated at St. John's here. How's that here? You know, Swedish homeopathic medicine here for mackerel snappers who support pig lice who go ahead and destroy white families. Regime criminals who support white families here. As I look at here, if Yahweh wants to go ahead and support some critter who allows a piece of shit like Scott Watson and these pigs who went ahead and destroyed my family, I mean, shoot, Yahweh will go ahead and intervene for them and their families here. You know, and if he doesn't, well then, hey, I would advise them to go ahead and enjoy their food, new food and drink here, and see if they can't, just like my ancestors did, see if they can't go ahead and change it to the body and blood of Christ here. St. Gustav Adolf. Swedish homeopathy. And folks, all it needs is a fire source, a funnel, and a tin bucket here. And what happens is that all operations can be done cheap. In fact, I would say that more money will be paid out in order to go ahead and avoid Swedish homeopathic remedies than to go ahead and seek the full cure. You know what I mean? Delaney has denounced Lister as a phony. Oh, Mike the Kite Delaney has denounced me as a phony. Well, as if I give a shit here, you know what I mean? Whatever. Okay. But anyway, go ahead and send me an email here and see if you can't. I've given people permission. Other than, well, of course, let me see. I told Al Slender, you know, he has to pay the full price, but also pledged that, you know, that none of the money was taken from Trader Glenn Miller or the Department of Zogland Insecurity. I pretty well offered a free, you know, copy to Harold Covington, Billy Roper, and Corn Cop, Craig Cop. And for the reasons, Billy Roper has gone ahead and taken me up on it here. I may go ahead and send Harold Covington that and some... movement turds or whatever here on it here. You know what I mean? So, getting on with it here. Well, the Northwest Front, Harold Covington's talking about it since, 1998 here. And, you know, he tried to go ahead and do it in North Carolina. He pretty well got run out of North Carolina by Wiggerswell. You know, there were a lot of people pissed off because he called it the Butler plan. And a lot, you know, I mean, Butler was saying, well, why is Harold Covington, you know, putting my name to it? I mean, when it first occurred, you know, in 1972 when Butler moved from California to Idaho, folks, back then, this was Mormon country. This was Mormon country. Butler had some money, and he was moving, you know, and the Britons, they moved from Lancaster to, well, you know, well, really Mormon country. And Butler moved to the north side, the north part of it here, which had trees and a bunch of other stuff here. Pretty well, you know, the Britons moved to the southern part, you know, the southeast portion of Idaho, which has, well, Mormons and pretty well high plains farming here. It's really not the same as northern Idaho. But, you know, you have a bunch of Mormons and you have a bunch of, you know, and someone was talking about the Payette Valley to where it has a microclimate because the Mormon farmers, the Mormon orchard keepers used to go ahead and run sponge pots and keep the thing just above freezing in February. So you used to have a little microclimate, some, you know, microclimate because of the Mormons all running their smudge pots at one time in order to go ahead and keep it above freezing. And now you've had it changed because now you have all these California wiggers moving in and buying up these Mormon orchards and all this sort of stuff and, you know, changing the man-made microclimate. So it's a totally different thing there. Now, what you have is you do have Northwest migration, especially on the part of California wiggers, who are running away. And they said the southern Idaho is colder than, of course, southern California. But in many cases, it sort of reminds them a good deal of it because it's, you know, it's wetter than the Nevada desert. But so it reminds, you know, them of Southern California. So you have a bunch of wiggers moving in there. And what these wiggers do is that they are refugees. They are running away from the shit they started. I've seen them in Missouri. California refugees. And there's a piece of shit named Mike Logan here. Came from California. Orange County. I'm not sure if it was San Diego or Los Angeles or whatever. He came from around Orange County. Or Sacramento, he came from California somewhere. He whined like a pussy that, hey, Granby didn't have enough cops. They didn't have a cop on every freaking corner. I said, well, why didn't you stay in California? They have cops all over the place there. I said I wouldn't go ahead and enjoy fresh air and better schools. No, you lying cocksucker. You went ahead and moved away from the niggers and beaters, you lying piece of shit. And, folks, I have never been in his restaurant. I will never go to his Italian restaurant. No intention of ordering anything from there. I despise that lying cocksucker who went ahead and, you know, pretty well turned Granby from, you know, pretty well just a quiet place with just a city marshal and night watchman to mini Pigville to where, hey, the pigs get to do whatever the hell they want to do. Oh, hell, they were acting up big time in 2003, 2004 against me, trying to go ahead and do that. And I got beat up by a Mexican pig from Granby in 1995. And I need to go ahead and type in this thing from 1994 where we had a pig life in Council Critter Riot where I got assaulted by a council critter. I punched him back, and then I was charged with starting a riot. What I point out is that, hey, this is just a bunch of bullshit. They went ahead and this piece of shit, Scott Watson, Well, there was no riot, there was no assault. Well, hey, you lying sack of shit. Regime criminals who do that shit ought to be skinned alive, they and their entire family. I've already pointed out is that, folks, there's no limit to people who get in power. They do whatever the hell they can. And the only thing that makes most people who have no morals is fear of the consequences. And essentially, in this country, we are getting closer and closer. Now, Hale Covington is absolutely right, and the pigs are far more scared than they ever are because they see the consequences, and they see this Great Tribulation coming closer and closer and closer, even though they don't call it, you know, Great Tribulation. They might call it a collapse. That's probably what they think of it. And essentially, they're scared shitless because, hey, folks, when people are starving, when people have nothing to lose, and they are armed to the teeth like most Roglings are, like McFag is, with plenty of guns, even though they don't have the balls to use it. But folks, when you corner a rat, you're going to get bit. And these pigs are scared shitless of this sort of thing. So I listen to Harold Covington's podcast. Today, pretty well cheated on about a third of it by reposting a Radio Free Northwest that he did, you know, that I did remember, you know, that he made. But folks, I mean, shoot, he has to go ahead and do what he needs to do. And folks, to me, it's none of what Covington says on the air is new. I did sort of like he ended up having somebody named Charles Martel who used to hang around and be a VNNF poster, and I guess he has Mr. Martel pretty well on his side, and that's a good thing. I guess it's nice to hear some new voices on his show. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I don't think it was one of his better shows, but it certainly wasn't one of his worst shows. So, I went ahead and, pretty well listened to it. But, no, I mean, I have no problem with Harold Covington going ahead and trying to make something of these people who are running. And some of these wiggers might end up turning to have, have a set of, nuts when they get cornered. And he might go ahead and, see, the thing about it is that leadership. Leadership normally is about a 1 in 20 maximum thing. And that's why leadership and ability to go ahead and actually do something, not only do something by yourself, but actually get other people to do something, is so well rewarded because it's so relatively rare. And folks, I have no doubt that people are going ahead and reading Harold Covington's books and they're being affected by it. Folks, I believe Harold Covington is the best fiction writer, pretty well in the movement. But on the other hand, I see that these people he's already gotten in don't amount to anything here. Oh, I'm looking at this thing, John King Live. Mayor fights with flash mob friends. The answer, all it is just niggers who are essentially not getting enough of whitey stuff, who's just going ahead and using this sort of thing. And by the way, I'm looking at this thing here of this little nigger going ahead and looking up at Martin Luther King on the statue, and they're going to go ahead and you have wiggers and niggers, in this big old temple, a dishonest ape here, looking at the little nigger. Look at the great nigger here, and the little nigger's looking up at the great nigger. Martin, dedicate the dream.org. Good Lord, I'm sick of that shit by now. Uh-huh. In case, okay. Well, anyway, okay, well, next thing, well, no, the government's never been honest with 911. But then again, folks, we've had, since the Revolutionary War, we've had wiggers manipulated into war. And I'm quite sure that the War of 1812, they're impressing our sailors, even though the sailing ship people of New England wanted to secede. They didn't want to go ahead and have a war with England. And then, of course, here comes the Mexican War, to where, yes, there was a big fight with Mexico, and we went ahead and beat the dog shit out of Mexico. I support the Mexican War. We went ahead and took from them damn beaners, a bunch of empty lands which they were not able to run, and we ran them off. Didn't run enough of them off. Didn't slaughter enough of the red niggers, but hey, I supported the Mexican War, and essentially, regardless of the provocation, I would have supported it here. And I would have supported the War of 1812 if we managed to go ahead and grab off a chunk, of Canada. getting on with it. But the Civil War, a pretext like Fort Sumter, dishonest ape, started that war and simply forced these stupid Southerners to go ahead and fire. Looking back on it, maybe they should not have fired on Fort Sumter. Let them go ahead and stay with their little fort. in Charleston Harbor and just go ahead and just, you know, drive around it here. Don't try to go ahead and starve them out eventually. Well, what good are they going to do with a fort, you know, in Charleston Harbor? Answer, nothing. And then remember the Maine. Well, folks, most people thought it was just an accident, or it might have been an explosion designed to get rid of an old white elephant, you know, Jonah battleship that was well past its prime. And then, let me see, the Lusitania. Well, the Lusitania was carrying plenty of munitions, and you had Franklin Delano Roosevelt being the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and you had Churchill being the First Lord of the Admiralty, carrying ammunition on the Lusitania. So that was a pretty... And then you had the Poland, and you had Pearl Harbor, which was the big, big Oklahoma City, and 9/11. So, folks, you've had nothing but provocations and tricks to get Whigger stampeded into, you know, rallying around the red, white, and Jew. To fight the Jew War, to fight to go ahead and fight the, you know, the Shabbos Whiggers Wars. Even before there were ostensibly Jews. You've had these provocations forever in American history. And the sheep go ahead and do the same thing. Then, like Robert Friend said, is that in 2001, you don't have the same composition that you had in 1941, 60 years earlier. You've had three generations of dumber and dumber Whiggers, and more Mamses among them. And the end result's going to be the death of it all. So, I'm sort of looking at what's going on, but anyway, I listen to Hale Covington's podcast here. The one I see with old Steve Elder's Northwest Chimperative, you know, Sangria Reserve, as I call it, and I'm on it, is essentially nothing more than just simply a Whigger who doesn't, or not a Whigger, but a Manser who really don't know what to go ahead and do now that he does have an organ of dissemination. Nothing intelligent, just, I'm a Christian identity, and everybody else who don't agree with this Jew, Eli James, is not. And essentially all it was just simply forming a group to where you could go ahead and censor somebody off. And does that go ahead and produce anything? And the answer is, no, it does not. No, it does not. Now, I was covering Alex Linder. I went over to Spermfront, and I hear that Spermfront is not doing too well or not doing well enough, and how there's some people who think the Spermfront's going to be down. Now, that may be just bullshit from Jet and John. Jet and John haven't been doing much of anything either. oh, by the way, Oba Genderbender over on 2.5 Mamsers has splurged with his earnings from the truck stop, has splurged and bought an invasion board or whatever. He's bought his own bulletin board for him, which is so much better than D Bulletin and 100 times better than, you know, SMF, folks. Now, folks, I don't see what's wrong with Simple Machines Forum. I like it because you can go ahead and look and get the number of the posts like you cannot unless you really know what you're doing over on VBulletin, which is fine here. Okay, the Commander, Bill White. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and look at that here. Oh, okay, I have a low battery, folks. I better plug this thing in before it dies on me. In fact, okay, let me... Okay, yeah, am I still on, folks? Okay. Anyway, I was seeing low battery, so I decided to plug the thing in here. Okay, is Bill White coming back into movement? Well, that's what Hale Covington asked two podcasts ago. You know, pretty well asked Bill White, is he coming back into our wonderful bowel movement? Now, if I was Bill White, I wouldn't come back into our wonderful bowel movement. I go, Bill White's been, you know, ass raped enough here. And I'm not really fond of Bill White, but it ain't, no. I mean, you know, I'm not fond of Bill White either, but, you know, hey. It's nothing to me if Bill White goes back to the movement or not, because, shoot, the people who like me, you know, are not usually the same people who like Bill White either, too. So, any case here. All right, well, I'm still on. Good, good. I seen a light go on. It said low battery, so I went ahead and plugged the power thing in here, okay? Well, how is Bill White going to go ahead to what Metzger does? What does Metzger do? Metzger runs his own little forum and talks about lone wolves and essentially sells trinkets. You don't have any money like Pierce got from the order. So what's Metzger going to do here? Answer, Metzger is what, 70, 71 years old? What's Metzger, I mean, how is changing to what, you know, Metzger is doing going to help him any? Answer, it's not. It's not going to help him any here. You know. Well, I don't know if Bill White needs to fade away, but I don't see what Bill White's going to do here. Folks, I went ahead and looked at that 2004 video, that May 14th or May 15th video, and like I said, all 10 one of these, you know, all 10 one of these I looked at here, I was glad I went. I mean, I was not out anything. I was not some newbie who they didn't know, who essentially the pigs went ahead and took, the pigs went ahead and copied your, you know, went ahead, took your driver's license, returned in 5 minutes after they'd gone ahead and read every damn thing there was. Xeroxed it, you know, copied it, did whatever, ran it through the thing here, sent to the ADL, you know, ADF here. They already knew I was a racist. I was running for governor of Missouri. I went up there to see Pastor Richard Butler, and I went ahead and got to see Corn Cob, Ben Vineyard, Alex Flinder, and Billy Roper still in it here. And Alex Flinder was not rude to me. On the other hand, it probably wouldn't have done much good for me to go ahead and beat, you know, Alex Linder's ass here. I went ahead and looked at my speech, and for my guy, it was the most fiery speech of the entire lot, saying that Zog would be destroyed. Zog was going ahead and, you know, Zog needed to be destroyed. So I'll go ahead and send that, and I've told people that they have a non-commercial, what they call Creative Commons. Go ahead and by all means put it up on YouTube. And if you put it up on YouTube, send me a freaking link so I can go ahead and link to it, okay? All right? So, you know, me... Oh, it was the most radical of the speeches here. And folks, I have a voice which would definitely rock. Linder was sort of looking at me while I was going in there. You know, Billy Roper wanted us to say, if it's brown, flush it down. So I essentially led the cheers. I mean, I had, I think, easily the loudest voice of the entire lot. And 2, 4, 6, 8, we don't want you racist hate. And I go ahead and yell, 2, 4, 6, 8, we will never integrate. And essentially that's what, you know, Brown versus the Board of Education was concerned. And these stupid Uyghur and Mamzer tards across the, you know, across the alley were yelling about that. Then they thought, I guess, they thought for a minute, do we really want to live next door to Klansmen? Do we really want to live next door to racist maniacs? You know, who don't mind shooting niggers and Jews? You know, who'd like to have an excuse to shoot niggers and Jews? Answer, no, I don't think we would like living right next door to them. So they sort of hushed it down. But literally 20 people went ahead and managed to put up, pretty well drowned out about 400 of them, and pretty well I was the one who was yelling and screaming the loudest of the lot here. But then again, you know, I'd been known to, I have spoken, several times after the microphone power has been cut, because they did not like what I have to say. And shoot, folks, usually I was louder without the mic, you know, than I was with it in many cases here. I've sort of learned how to go ahead and project my voice. And you can hear what I'm saying. Of course, back then I had more teeth, too. Well, Newton County pigs hadn't gone ahead and knocked out four or five of them. Okay? So, well, I didn't get arrested that many times. I got arrested quite a few, though, over the years here. You know what I mean? Oh, Poopy Dog showed up. Well, that's good here. You know what I mean? Anyway, well, I like his own, of course. Like his own. Anyway, I don't know what the... Well, let me go ahead and see how many more minutes I got. Well, folks, I mean, I learned quite a bit from that rally. And one of the things I learned is that it's sort of weird, but you would think the pigs would be more scared of the niggers and the greasers and the Jews, if there's 400 of them, than they are of what, 20 or 21, quote, racist whites. And the answer of it is the damn pigs were looking daggers at us far more than they were looking at these, you know, the criminal element. And why is that? Because the pigs understand is that when whites get tired of their regime, there's not going to be any more paychecks or immunity from prosecution for Piggy. You had two pig helicopters or whatever rented, and they were literally 180 from each other, you know, going counterclockwise in a circle. Essentially, what they were doing is that you could, it was hard to, you know, you could really not hear Pastor Butler, except that Roxy literally, you know, well, I literally got about 6 foot away from them. And, essentially, got real close to them, taping them. And that's what I went up there for, was to see, meet and, you know, meet and say hello to Pastor Richard Butler. I didn't have the money, and I only had one car, this old Pontiac running, and I didn't want to go ahead and drive 360 miles to Colt, Arkansas, which is, on Interstate 40, just shy of West Memphis, at a park. I didn't want, I was invited to go in September of 2003. I didn't want to go. I mean, what happens is at the time, these pigs had gone ahead and stolen the grandchildren. I wanted to go ahead and keep pressure on the pigs to go ahead and bring them back, and the pigs did go ahead and bring them back. Later on, they stole them, and they went ahead and charged me with a bogus child molestation case here. And in any case, when essentially Billy Roper said, and Billy Roper, the last year or so, you know, of Butler's life, Katya Lane in 2002-2003 got tired of being harassed, so she sold her David Lane stuff to Billy Roper. Billy Roper had been kicked out of Pierce's National Alliance, and by all means, Billy Roper was the most competent, level-headed, smart one of a bunch. I mean, if Billy Roper had been allowed to be probably the old Pierce's successor, as opposed to Kevin Alfred Strom and Eric Leiby and Sean Walker and all these other targets, I think there still would be a rump National Alliance if Billy Roper had been allowed to do it. But I think that essentially Zog went ahead and told Pierce, if you want to spend the last couple months of your life in prison for taking stolen money, and Pierce sold it, because Pierce is just a solipsist. Pierce cares for nobody other than himself. You know, Pierce was a Zogbot. And over on 405 C's, you have old Hanning and Wiggerswill going ahead and essentially digging up 5 or 6 year old, from 2005, you have them digging up a post from 2005, and going ahead and bitching about, you know, about how Covington was real good and all this. And essentially you have the Pearsites. You have old Jake Featherstone, a.k.a. Kevin O'Keefe, or as I call him, Caffro Capon, or whatever. Total hybrid nigger, you know, dick sucker. You know, just a little Shabbos pig who goes in and supports this Belgian Jew. But essentially you had him bitching about, but you had Hadding and Hoyerswill bringing up this ancient 2005-year-old post on Four Flags Feeds. And essentially, if you have anything good to say about Covington, why, hey, well, you must be a Covington sock puppet, or you must be this, or you must be that. You ban them, ban them, ban them. And folks, we've already discussed is that essentially in all these tard corrals, the only purpose for most of them is just simply to go ahead and ban your enemies. And just like Covington says, it just goes and shows is that Uyghur nationalists are screwed up. They're not ready for prime time. They never were, and they never will be. They're not Zogbots. They're just everlasting tards who love themselves far more. And essentially, I was looking a couple of days ago, and there is, you know, there was an old Covington thread. And essentially, most of the Four Fag Seeds had crapped all over Covington. But, well, essentially, here's Hoyerswill and here's Hoyerswill Hadding the Meerkat going ahead and bringing this crap up from back then. And I don't know if what Covington was going to go ahead and say might have pissed off Hoyerswill the way he'd go ahead and get the pigs after Covington. I don't know. What I end up getting from listening to it. But in any case, you know, if he heard a huddle here, he'd think it was about him. Well, who cares? Answer, well, if he's going to go ahead and whine to the pigs or the judge about, oh, he owes me, Tubby owes me $200,000 banal on my bogus suit. Well, you know, maybe that's why Covington changed it. I don't know. But, folks, I mean, you have your tard corrals, and essentially they're pretty well running as best can be. I've not looked at White News Now. But you have April Gady, and she's going ahead and drumming her own horn, and I don't think she's getting anywhere. So, getting on with it. Okay, Border Patrol. Y'all are trolling. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And I don't know how much more time I have. Roxy's bitching about me turning off the air conditioner. So I'll go ahead and take a quick break and do a few things. And essentially let whoever needs to go to bed, go to bed. And I'll go ahead and look at this art of trolling, okay? So hail victory, folks.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. He thought he threatened judges three and two. He slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNM. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a pop named Visser, a Duke Mescoo little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion rides. A mum that niggling East molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can.
Okay, well, folks, we're back. Someone went ahead, I think Northwest, went ahead and brought back. Hal Covington about a month or two ago was talking about how to go ahead and get in, and he heard somebody said that it's easier to get in if you're white than it was a while back ago. And essentially, the saying was that there was sort of a relaxation back to the Bush administrations of catch and release. Well, what happens is I went ahead and looked at that, and then this guy named Federale, for the last three or four posts, he's been saying update on the amnesty. It's not just Dream Act illegal aliens. In fact, the amnesty for illegal aliens now recently is for all illegal aliens currently in removal proceedings. Today, in a letter to Assistant Majority Leader Dick Durbin and 21 other senators, Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napoliano, this Jew lesbo bitch, announced the administration has established a new process for handling the deportation cases of Dream Act students and other sympathetic individuals, i.e., some poor little greasy beaner who looks cute. If fully implemented, the new process should stop virtually all Dream Act deportations. And from what I gather, they've decided that they're not going to go ahead and actually deport them unless they have a criminal record. Now, folks, the fact that they're in here should mean that they have a criminal record. And a few people pointed out is that, hey, if you go ahead and see a beaner in this country, you should simply give him 5 years and have him go ahead and do hard manual labor on roadbeds or whatever. And at the end of 5 years, deport him with a shirt on his back and maybe one day's ration of bread and water. You deport him across the Mexican border, but after you go ahead and make that dirty beaner work. Illegal beaner. You simply say, by being here, you have committed a felony, which is punishable in the first offense for 5 years, hard labor, and short rations. So essentially, the Director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has issued a memo advising ICE officials to consider certain factors when deciding whether to proceed with deportation. There's a long history of the government exercising prosecutorial discretion in this matter. The government has always decided who to prosecute, who not to prosecute, based on how law enforcement priorities and available sessions here. So how the new process will work, under the new process, the Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice Working Group will develop specific criteria to identify low-profile removal cases that should be considered for prosecutorial discretion. These criteria will be based on positive factors from the Morton Memo, which include individuals present in the U.S. since childhood, little Dream Act students, minors, the elderly, pregnant, and nursing women. We need more little cockroaches. Victims of serious crimes, veterans and members of the armed services, and individuals with serious disabilities and or health problems. The working group will develop a process for reviewing cases pending before immigration federal courts that meet these specific criteria. So short, more little beaner breeders, more of them who are going ahead and taking away scarce medical resources, and at the same time, we're going to go ahead and pay for these people. Now, the 11th Circuit, based, I think, out of Atlanta, Georgia, went ahead and ruled that, according to the circuit court level rule, that you cannot force anybody to go ahead and buy health insurance. Can't go ahead and force them to buy it from private companies. And that's what the Constitution and Bill of Goods actually does say. You can't go ahead and force somebody to buy something just as a condition for living here in this country, especially if you were born here. Now, you have Michelle Bachmann and all these other people going ahead and going to Romney. And I think Romney lost the selection last Friday at the Iowa State Fair when he said, hey, corporations are people too. Yep, corporations are people. They get to go ahead and screw over actual white people, but they don't have to go ahead and pay for their crimes. They cannot be hung by the neck. Now, it's up to me. I'd go ahead and hang. If a corporation commits a crime, I would go ahead and make the corporate officers serve prison time. I would go ahead and take away all the corporation's money. I'd put that corporation to death after I went ahead and gave life sentences to these corporate officers who hide behind the corporation for the evil that they do. So, Federale said this applies to all aliens in removal proceedings, not just as Dick Durbin implies, young people. Applies to all, and the main and only criterion will be that the alien has not been convicted of a crime. This will include those with extensive arrest records but no convictions. It will apply to gangbangers with no convictions. Just as Edwin Ramos was a beneficiary of the administrative amnesty, other criminals will benefit. I guess Edwin Ramos was a meaner criminal. So this guy, he talks about, essentially, all these illegal beaters. He's called Federale and Federal Agent 86, Blogspot. So he might have been, been a former worker for the INS here. And he went ahead and previously said the former Obama regime administrative amnesty. So essentially, they've announced a formal amnesty for illegal aliens. But going on, he's gone ahead and said quite a bit about this here. I guess he's anti-Democrat. He's pro-Republican or something like that. And he's been... I first came to his notice when Red Mike Vanderkuyt or Vanderbo was bitching about his racism or something like that. And he's pretty well chewed on Red Mike Vanderkuyt for being a little, in favor of all these illegal aliens, pretending that he wasn't, though. You know what I mean? Red Mike Vanderkuyt is a little either a Sabbath wigger or a Jew boy who essentially is the Southern Poverty Law Center's official militia general. Okay? Anyway, good night, Northwest. I'm glad you could go ahead and show up. But, I was glad you could go ahead and be there. Went ahead and talked about a number of other things. Pretty well, there's not too much going on in the bowel movement other than the same old stupid crap. There really isn't. Pretty well, the funniest thing was the 31st of July, Mallard Patricia, me trolling Eli James. And the big thing is that in September, Gillette is going to have his little Aryan Nations pretend thing. He's gotten Billy Roper supposedly to sign off, and I'm going to go ask Billy Roper not to go ahead and show up, but, Billy Roper can do what Billy Roper wants to do. But he ends up having the Sephardic Jew, Eli James, show up. Now, where does Eli James, if he's whining about how he's lacking money, where does Eli James get the money to show up to all these events and pretend to be white and a Christian identity pastor? Where does he get the money to do all this sort of shit? Why is he hanging around with Gillette? Why is he hanging around Gillette? Gillette got caught. Gillette was just an idiot who got caught. Gillette's not the Aryan Nations. I mean, essentially, he got kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Butler and by Ray Redfern. Wasn't allowed back. Why is that going on? And the answer is I smell Zogbot. But, folks, if you end up, going ahead and getting the DVD or something like that, and folks, essentially I'm just saying I'm selling for $5 because that's pretty well what I'd have on the DVD and mailing the thing out. But hopefully it'll go ahead and get on YouTube. And folks, what to say? And what I'd have to say is that, by all means get on YouTube. But folks, I went to one rally, and one rally was more than enough. One rally was more than enough. Okay? Okay, well, good. I'm going to go ahead and send a copy of Northwest. I'm not going to charge him $5 because he's got a lot more than $5 worth of help for me. A lot more. So, anyway, I went ahead and checked my Gmail. And, anyway, I'm looking at the chat. Oh, the transcript was hilarious here. Yeah, Eli James is hanging out with Gillette. And, folks, way back in 2005 or so, Eli James had to save old red nigger Dan Johns, serial wannabe polygamist, from an ass whipping. that August Christ and Badgley Jenkins, who was Mo Gullet's best, you know, cokehead buddy, wanted to give him. Gullet was in jail. Oh, you have Liar Bell. Go ahead and talk about how Liar Bell could have run things so much better than Pastor John Britton. Juan, John Britton didn't do anything. And the answer is, yeah, John Britton didn't do anything. He didn't go ahead and essentially tear up, you know, destroy Gullet's church like Gullet did by giving it to Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson kicks everybody out. He didn't go ahead and give his webpage to Rick Spring cutout named Zach Kraft, who went ahead and then took it down. Nope. What happens is that once it was pretty well screwed up between Gullet and Joe Johnson, essentially, Pastor John Britton went ahead and, at my urging, took over as senior pastor and needed to do a single thing. And then Gullet whined like a pussy about it in August 2007. And essentially, John Britton wanted to go down to Marianna, Florida at the federal penitentiary and beat Gillette's ass. And I said, don't do that. I went ahead and found out about the trust fund that wasn't paying out. But now this trust fund is paying out, from what I gather. So, folks, why would you want to go ahead? If you want to help the South African Boers, ask Gillette to go ahead and send some of that money from Harold Grooms. You know, have them give it to the South African Project. Don't go ahead and get any more young, you know, young Whiggers or Anglo Mestizos in trouble by showing up in his uniform and getting their name named. Now, if you go ahead and look at the rally, the pigs were pretty well photocopying everyone's ID, demanding an ID. Demanding an ID. We drove us to the bus there. We were there for about 35, 40 minutes, and then, you know, pretty well everybody got their say. Linda got to scream for a little while. Then Ron Doggett, then some skinhead, then me. Then some skinhead, then me. And essentially, we're the only ones who wanted to go ahead and talk. With something to say. And then later on, we got back on the bus and we went to this fat guy named Dean Roberts' house in Wichita. And they opened up beers, but since I was the one driving up there, I didn't take any. And pretty well, I taped Pastor Butler talking a little, and then the video cassette battery went ahead and ran out just shy of 2 hours. So then Roxy wanted to go ahead and go home, so we went on home. It was a long hour drive. We went back to Kansas, seen all these pretty Kansas towns, many of them which had abandoned houses in 2004. You know. Essentially, if you want to go ahead and go to a nice white area, go to some of these Kansas towns. If you want to be safer from the Great Tribulation, go to some of these Kansas towns. Okay? So, yeah, I mean, you have Gullet going, you know, with, you know, you have Eli James supposedly going to be there. Well, folks, that's not normal. That's not normal behavior unless normal behavior is being a snitch. Okay? Where did Gullet get Truett? Well, Truett showed out of prison. He wrote this book called Cultural Reconstruction. And Truett seems to be a criminal tard. He might be an Anglo Mestizo, he might be this or that. He's from St. Charles, Missouri. Just a little bit beyond, you know, on Florissant. I said, why don't you go ahead and get old Mumpsnuts to be your little pastor? Mumpsnuts, he's delusional that they'll all let me back in. Well, no, Billy Roper kicked him out. Well, that sort of let him go, too. I mean, what do you need with an 85 IQ, 250 pounds of dog shit, 50-pound sack, Mumpsnutted, niglet and east molesting retard, who essentially is simply nothing more than a low-rent Dave Hall. One who believes that, oh no, we cannot go against Zog. We need to protect Zog. I mean, if you have great tribulation, what's going to happen to my little niggle nieces, Shaniqua and Tamrika and all this sort of thing? Going ahead and whining about, well, should I go ahead and quit sperm fucking? I tell them, no, go ahead and do whatever you want. And then he goes ahead and lies. Tells me what a big hater I was. No, I told him do whatever the heck he wanted to as far as sperm fun. So he goes ahead, joins it up, and then he's going to ask him out with
Mark Downey and Clint Downey. And I'm wondering what the hell's going on, and I tell them, I said, shoot, in a wartime situation, if you were exchanging emails with an enemy without my permission, why, you'd be shot as a spy. I said to them, hey, why the hell didn't you just go down to, Clint Downey and Meerkat, get ordained by them instead of me? Nobody closer in Kentucky than was to me, because even though we live in Missouri, I'm on the other end of Missouri. Kentucky or where they're from here wouldn't have been no, more than 300 miles away. Why didn't you go ahead and go with Clint Downey and Little Meerkat? He got ordained by a combination of Crisco oil and Jergens lotion. Why didn't you go ahead and get ordained by him? And the answer is, he didn't feel comfortable, and Downey wouldn't go ahead and didn't trust him. Well, hey, if I'd gone ahead and been smarter and done a Missouri Case Net, I wouldn't have trusted you. Here you are. I'm never talking against you. We're arresting your grandchildren because I've been accused twice of sexual assault on my niece. And he goes ahead and talks about how his sister are two mud sharks. He squeezed out a whole bunch of niggard nieces and nephews. So like Dave Hall had. It was apparent that he wasn't too bright. When he got here, he just sat like a lump of shit here while I was trying to go ahead and get some, stuff done. He wasn't smart enough to teach, internet espionage, so apparently he spent a lot of time, setting up a Yahoo account, a Gmail account, a Facebook account. I went ahead and took him over. And I was wondering, did he plant a spy thing on me or anything like that? And then, I let him talk to Pastor John Burton on Roxy's cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone at the time. And he was deferential. But what he does is that he makes up shit, and he went ahead and he lied that I had said that John Britton was a drunkard, and he wasn't. And then he went ahead and lied, and that got to Brian Reel, and Brian Reel lied, and he went to Ray Mariani. And essentially, more shit involved from that. And folks, I sort of think that Liar Bill is a little zog plant here, not a very smart one. But essentially, he claims that, I met this person and I know all about him. And he goes ahead and makes shit up. And he did like this thing with some guy named Banjo Billy who lived out in California. But I knew all about Banjo Billy. He makes up this shit that, isn't even remotely true. Did the same thing with me, did the same thing with Pastor John Burton. And what he is that he's just a petty criminal and a snitch. Nothing more. So what you have is you have all these retard Christian identity pastors and the rest who got a lot of nigger in the woodpile. Now, earlier, when Russ was in, I was talking about Clifton Emhiser. Clifton Emhiser is despised in the movement. And the reason he's despising Christian identity is that here he is showing up like a retard on Brian Reels talks to you, come out of her in Babylon. Well, folks, if you're going to go ahead and allow a known mamzer to pretend to be a Christian identity follower and even, a somewhat minister of sorts, and Bill Fink, who knows full well what Brian Reel looks like, knew his name, covering up for mamzers, well, essentially, if you're bringing in mamzers and Jews and the rest, then what the hell are you? You're not a Christian identity scholar. You're a liar. And I pointed out that Emhiser made up, based upon what some character I'd never heard of, writing up some coarse shit about how, the Roman Catholic Church did come up with preterism, but they also come up with futurism. And Bill Fink is a historicist. No, Bill Fink is just a lying Jersey Jew boy who pretends to be a Greek scholar, don't know jack shit, cannot speak Greek. Hell, the critter can, barely speak English. And not very well at that. So, if you're going to go ahead and allow all these mamzers and retards and, Jews in, why are you pretending to be Christian identity? I went ahead and read about his, this character who shows up on VNNF, and he's pretty well given the door. Because it doesn't matter to Linda whether or not you're associated with me. Whether you're some little Jew mamzer pretending to be Christian identity, but not. He don't want anything to do with Christianity. He don't want anything to do with Christianity. Well, at least that's far more honest than being some mamzer pretending to be Christian, you know, pretending to be Christianity. I would far rather have a retard like Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Flinder, but, you know, saying offhand they do not like Christianity and they don't like me, than to have some mamzers and Jews get in Christianity and try to stay in Christianity like Visser. Visser revealed himself as a mamzer. He revealed, you know, I mean, I went in and asked, well, is that your half-brother? Aaron, you know, Aaron, you know, Sean Aaron, whatever, who's a sad man? Well, no, he's my full brother. Well, he looks like a beaner. Oh, I mean, you know, and shoot, I mean, you have this Serena who looks like a beaner, and you have this other one, why? Oh, that's his wife's daughter. Well, she looks like a nigger. She, you know, what happens is his wife is a mamzer mud shark. Is a beaner who screws niggers. Who has a nigger kid. And essentially, that's what Visser's genetic, you know, inheritance is like, and he's trying to get back to Christian identity. Folks, why? I mean, I would say Visser's four kids who are, even though they look like they got burnt cork eyes, but who regrettably have white hair, they're far more dangerous than his brother who looks like a beaner, whose children look like beaners or niggers. Far more dangerous because, shoot, any white person going ahead and essentially, I mean, their children are just going to be nothing but mamzers. Cut off from Christian Israel. And folks, I do believe in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Now folks say, well, how do you know there's any white people? Well, Jews say that too here. Folks, there has to be a remnant for Jesus Christ to come back and save. I believe that there is. And since I believe that there is a remnant, who I am talking to, is that this remnant who hears my message is the remnant who will pretty well be the reason that Jesus Christ come back. If there's no remnant, why should Jesus Christ come back at all? Just let this dog Babylon be destroyed without there being a Noah, if there is no Noah left. And that's what I covered in my hour of great tribulation. And folks, I need to go ahead and tomorrow work on that. I'm going to go ahead and put up 82.5 tonight. I'm not quite sure what to go ahead and, well, he looks around for people to harass and, you know, bother. Pretty well running shy of something to say. So what I'll do is I'm going to go ahead and take at least a 15-minute break and get some posts up to settle things here. And I'll go ahead and turn the air conditioner off. So, folks, I think I'll have one more segment. And, you know, from my gather, there's a lot of people who are night owls. There's not that many people here, but I'll go ahead and turn the air conditioner off, and we'll come back in just, 15 minutes at least, though. Or hail victory.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Okay, folks, we're sort of back. Right now I'm working on my webpage to go ahead and get a few things. See, I'm not sure if I'm going to have this thing on or not. This is just chat musing. And what I have is that I have my whitenationalist.org, but I also have a hidden form. I also have hidden, sub-forums that are, where I go ahead and store stuff. And if I go ahead and see somebody write something interesting, I may want to come back to it. I go ahead and log on that sock puppet on both my whitenationalist.org forum, or on the sub-forum, and I also do it on the, the hidden forum, which nobody can see except me. And what I do is I maintain the same numerical numbers, and I might have somebody go ahead and get up, go ahead and take the White Nationalist database and put it on the secret forum or something like that. But, that's how I've gone ahead and maintained posts in 6 months or so, from when Brian Real had me kicked off the internet. Up in Quebec. And I did maintain one. Now, this one person said, why don't you have a secret forum? And I might go ahead and do that if whitenationalist.org it ever does go back down again. And where only admins can go ahead and see and where they can go ahead and post. And then go ahead and post it to other forums. And I don't know, I just sort of, I do need to go ahead and sue Brian Real, of course. And that would help, Pastor John Britton out a good deal as well here. And I need to go ahead and do that. Where was I? So what I do is I go ahead and maintain these little sock puppets or stuff like that, saying, you know, a number of stuff here. And I had to laugh because I was looking at tonight, you had Oscar. And I have Oscar as Obagender Bender. And Obagender Bender will say, yeah, I'm Oscar here. Oscar Mayer. What happens, I'd like to go ahead and give the VNNF my wiener. I mean, now that I'm a transsexual, gender bender pisser pisser possum, I don't need. I don't need my wiener no more, so hey, I'm Oscar Mayer. I used to have a wiener, so that's pretty well. I'll pretend I'm not a Marty Lindstedt type, Chris Sandetti tard. No, you're just some man who pretend to be Chris Sandetti, and Linder don't see the point in having anybody in Chris Sandetti because he thinks that, you know, even if he knows that they're, in many cases, not like me, he don't like anybody in Chris Sandetti. He don't like anybody who essentially does something other than, you know, worship the wonderfulness of Linder. That's all he loves. If you don't worship Linder, then hey, you have no business on VNNF. And folks, you've had people who are smarter than Linder, more talented, who have actually done more than Linder, like old Mike Blevins, a.k.a. Von Blubins. And I sort of look at Mike Blubin's, you know, picture here, and I like Emma Heiser, and I like these other tards. The career to me looks like a Jew, so I say as much. So I'm not really welcoming me into Chris Sandetti if I think he is what he is. You know, that's unlike Eli James, that's unlike Brian Reel, that's unlike Clifton M. Heiser, that's unlike William Finkelsheeny. Who knows damn well Brian Reel's a Manzer, and knows the rest of these careers are Manzer, but it don't matter. And yet they talk about the purity of blood and all this other good shit, happy horse shit. Folks, they're liars, is what they are. Why should anybody believe a liar? Why should anybody listen to a liar? No sense in that. No sense in that at all. So, getting on with it, what I've done is I've gone ahead and maintained, secret form from early January to the very end of June. For 6 months I had a secret form, and I would post to it. In some cases, I post to other, you know, other forums like StubbleIn or Beer Barrel. In some cases, Apricity. So, essentially, Brian Reel is having to deal with all these things which are now, used to be hidden, and now are seen, and that he can't write all these DMCA complaints for because, hey, he doesn't even remotely even have a copyright. Even a claim. And some of these DMCA complaints he's making are so bogus that they're going to go ahead and cost him something. They're going to go ahead and cost Eli James and the rest of these people. Folks, I don't believe anything that IsraelElect.com says here because, hey, you know, this character is, well, I mean, shoot, you're not really, I go ahead and look at a picture of Gerald Mosley and I see a frog-faced Manzer in a wheelchair. A sick character that ain't white and that actually hates real white people. Who loves Jews and Mamzers and the rest here? Who likes running around pretending to be white when it's not? Folks, one thing I've seen here among evil people is Pharisaism. Here's Whiny Day from UK essentially saying that a woman cannot get a divorce. Her husband can get a divorce, but a woman cannot get a divorce. Now, is that in the Bible? And the answer is no. Moses, you know, Jesus Christ said that Moses allowed divorces. Now, because they're a bunch of universalist Mamzers, they go and they take the law, just like the Pharisees did, who were Mamzers themselves among Christian Israel, and they take and they pick and they pick and they pick and they add their own little self-righteous horseshit, their little sanctimonious horseshit to it, and that's the basis of the Talmud. There's a bunch of Jew rabbis getting together and finding a way to go ahead and get around the simple thing, you shall not work on the Sabbath. And they create a whole bunch of things of evasions and lies and all this other sort of shit and sanctimonious observances and all this other sort of horseshit. And they hate Jesus Christ, not only because he was white and they were a spawn of Satan, but they hate him because he ran through their little bullshit, their little man-made traditions of men. Now, it didn't dare be written down because they couldn't compete against the actual law of Moses. So, you have this whiny Dave, you have this old gender bender. Essentially, what they do is they string in a gnat and swallow Brian Rio's cum-cum is what they do. Not a camel. They go ahead and go ask the mouth with Mansers. And then they whine that I am foul-mouthed or something like that here. And folks, yeah, in many cases I do go ahead and use a good deal of profanity. But folks, what I try to do is that Yahweh didn't say a single thing about using profanity. He went ahead and said that you don't go ahead and use the, you know, the name of thy Lord in vain. You don't go ahead and make for idle swearing against this or other things or by the hair of your chinny chin chin. And I do my best to go ahead and obey those laws just as they are. But I don't go ahead and come up with Talmudic nonsense. Now folks, young people will go ahead and make mistakes in their, you know, in their mating. And as long as they take care of the children that they produce, am I going to go ahead and get down as that when they were young and stupid that they made a mistake and then say, hey, when they are older and they settled down and had actual children, if their children are bastards? I've seen that in the Worldwide Church of God. And I've seen how quickly Herbert Armstrong went ahead and violated his own bullshit when it became inconvenient for him. And all these bail priests went ahead and looked the other way. And folks, I've never had no use for hypocrisy. I've never had no use for lies. Folks, if a woman goes ahead and makes a mistake and her husband makes a mistake and they get a divorce, and it's outside, you know, outside the church here, I don't go ahead and ratify their marriages. I don't go ahead and question their divorces. My Patricia actually had the right on her side here. If sex is all it takes to make a marriage, then hey, what are you bitching to me? I went down to Vegas, so I got married 3-4 times. I got 2 husbands. Oh, he went ahead and he wrote me out a piece of paper, a bill of divorcement. And my Patricia might very well have been somewhat facetious. Maybe she just got, what, she got 50? And she decided that she wants something for her pussy, and she wanted it now, now, now. And so she got it. Now, now, now. Here she are, seeing, you know, what she sees is just simply a stupid Jew boy that has given her a hard time as a mamzeress about her becoming Aryan by penetration. And essentially she ridicules the crap out of Eli James here. I mean, look at what she was saying and stirring him up here. I mean, shoot, you know, my trolling was deliberate. But hey, I mean, Mount Patricia's was even funnier. In fact, I urge people to go ahead and look at July 31st. You know, the July 31st thing, I'm going to go ahead and get it up myself here. But it's hilarious. It was about the funniest thing I've ever seen. It really was. It was hilarious. So, what to say? I mean, it was just funny. Because what happens, Mary Patricia, she wants something strange, and she went out and she got it. And when you go ahead and talk about somebody, you know, wake the fuck up. You know, he's Weasley Smarmy. Yeah, he oozes his way in. So OB, you know, I think OB was Oscar. Oscar Mayer wanted to donate a sweetener to Christian Identity.
Yeah.
Anyway, huh? Well, maybe she was. Maybe she was. I wasn't looking at the screen. What happens is that maybe she was drunk. Maybe her horny man's wrist got the best of her here. She might have been drunk. It's Sunday morning. She might have been hungover. Maybe she was just, maybe she had gotten, she had gotten good and porked. Even by the one that wasn't very good in bed. She found out somebody who was a lot better in bed. Went ahead and said, well, hey, we're sort of married, but let's not go ahead and get paperwork. So we have to get, paperwork divorce. What happens is that, you can go ahead and get you some. At the gambling table, whatever, you can go ahead and get you some. Get a hunka-hunka. I mean, she's not really that repulsive looking here. I think the picture that Bill Fink made of her was not of her. But I did see the picture of her, and she has rather beautiful hair. And she doesn't have that bad a face here, a little bit horsey for me, but, what got me is that she had, dark eyes. Which the eyes are the first thing to go. So if you go ahead and look at TV, you see more and more man's eyes all the time. Okay? So it was sort of like Nevada, Nevada has mountain time. So if it was about 11 or so, it'd been 11:20, it'd been about 9:20 or so that she came on. So it was around 9:20, and hey, she's probably had one hell of an ambiance night here. So like Brian Reel and Gerald Moseley, they had an ambiance night. So hey, she just had herself an ambiance night. And, what happens is that, she's feeling pretty nice here. Maybe, if she does get banned, well, that just means she's going to have an ambiance eye-opener. Who knows here? You know what I mean? Okay. Okay. Well, guest number 10. Oh, he does not like. He doesn't go ahead and like. I think the guest number 10 is a little quitter, and you're going to have more and more of these people show up. They're going to go ahead and hear the hints, and they're going to go ahead and show up, and they're going to run their mouth. I have no idea about urine-soaked sheets or something like that. But, yeah, her behavior was really weird, but it was Maui Patricia's, as I can tell here. And, folks, she might have been smarter than Christine McDonald. She may have figured out what the heck is she saving that hole between her legs for. She may have figured out and said, shoot, I'm not really altogether a white woman. Why should I not have a little bit of fun? I'm 50-some years old. I'm in relatively good shape. I can still go ahead and get some horny 20-year-old or so to screw me. Why shouldn't I do that? Or some 30-year-old, 30-year-old, or 50-year-old, or whatever. For my guess, she's, probably seeking critters old enough to be her kids. Hey, she was having a little bit of fun. And folks, if you're not altogether white, why in the world bother with pretending to be so? What is Christian doing? That's what gets me about Visser. Visser, you revealed yourself to be a manser. Give it up. Give it up. Because when it comes down to it, anybody who is white, who might go ahead and let you in because, I think Visser preaches a pretty good sermon. Visser used to preach a pretty good sermon, but I always found him to be a mealy-mouthed liar. But folks, why in the world? Y'all ought to have your kids grow up to be Roman Catholic. Because Roman Catholic is manser friendly. So,
don't go ahead and pretend to be something you're not. Why in the world do that? You know what I mean? So, well, I don't ignore trolls because, hey, I am a troll, and essentially the reason we don't have too many trolls is that too many trolls don't really know, you know, who's on or whatever here. You know what I mean? Now, that troll might turn vicious and go ahead and he send an email to Brian Real, what Linstead's doing over on the Secret Hidden Talk Show show. But that's part of the reason I don't go ahead and record anything. I just go ahead and use the chat. And by go ahead and using the chat and not putting anything up on there, really, why in the world should Talk Show have a big problem with it? This is just simply just going ahead and using a unknown or unused Talk Show, show. Doesn't cost me too much. I mean, about 3 or 4 minutes, about 12 cents or so to go ahead and start it. And then go ahead and talk over, you know, using the, using the cell phone, okay? So, no, she never really fit in with Christian Identity, and what happens is that here she is in Vegas. What the hell did she think she was going to go ahead and do in Vegas? Is it Bob Jones? Get yapped to by Bob Jones? What was she going to do in Vegas? I mean, essentially, there's only a couple things that you do in Vegas here. You don't go ahead and go from Massachusetts or wherever the hell she's from to Vegas to go visit Bob Jones. To go ahead and teach Christian Identity among the Mamzers, around the Beaners, around the Mormons, around the other people. What you do there in Vegas is essentially go there to gamble, to drink, or to screw. They're all three. You know what I mean? So what in the world would she be doing in Vegas? And the answer is that she went to Vegas, but wasn't to go ahead and learn about Christian Identity, that's for sure. What would be the point of that? Why do that? Why indeed do that? And the answer is she wasn't there to do that. She wasn't there indeed to do that. She was there to do her thing. Do it her way. Yeah, well, sin. And actually, I don't think it's really sin because, hey, I don't think niggers sin. I don't think Mamzers sin. I don't think Anglo Mestizos sin. I think they just go ahead and have fun with their glands and they go there to have fun. You know what I mean? So, what was she doing in Las Vegas? So maybe she came to a little bit of sense to figure out, hey, folks, pretend to be Christian Identity, which is not something that I'm really meant for. She just came to a realization she enjoyed herself. And that was that. Okay? Well, yes, it is sin for Israelites to do that here. I mean, I'm not sure if I ever went to, you know, I'm not sure if I ever went to Vegas here. I went to Nevada a couple times while I was driving the truck, and well, I played some video poker, and one time over a 24-hour period, I lost $1.65 in nickels over it. I was up a few times, down a few times, but really, it was just simply sitting around waiting for a load, essentially going in to the air conditioning of the truck stop with the, you know, machines, going ahead and, you know, I mean, I didn't have a computer then. Didn't even have a laptop. Certainly, you know, didn't even have a computer. I mean, didn't have much in the way of TV reception out on what? Winnemucca? Or Battle Mountain? What to do? Well, I went ahead and played the nickel video poker, because I do know how to play poker somewhat, and hey, I lost $1.65 in nickels. Oh well. What can I say here? Well, I didn't get into the heavy drinking. I mean, I was looking for a load to get the hell out of Battle Mountain, Nevada. There wasn't anything there. I think I ended up going either to Oregon or I forget where I went to here to pick up a load. Heading east. I love the trip from Easton, Georgia, you know, with a load of paper bags for Salt Lake City, Utah. I love that trip. Gave me plenty of miles. Plenty of miles, but hey, I'd just soon load up with something with Salt Lake to go there, but shoot, about the only thing they may have had in Salt Lake City was, well, I would have loved going ahead and picking up salt at Salt Lake City, you know, which would be in those bags from Eastern Georgia, which is in the, which is from Georgia, of course. It was in around, really, right around Vister's neck of the woods here. You know, I mean, all I had was niggers and pine trees and a few, you know, a few wiggers on top of it. I had earlier picked up a load of paper bags, and essentially it got me home, you know, from Eastern Georgia to Salt Lake City. Why, hey, you know, I got to go ahead and do on the diagonal, and so I got to, well, spend some time at home. So I had to go ahead and deliver it. I went ahead and took the load out to Salt Lake. I got to see the Great Salt Lake because what it was is essentially it was a, it was a place where they take this evaporated salt from the Salt Lake, and, you know, it's the Morton Salt Works. The Morton Salt Works. If you end up eating salt, Morton Salt Works, that's where it was from. Morton, you know, from bags from this paper company, brown paper, you know, bags. What was 50-pound bag, brown paper bags? Those are these little baby bags. Those 50 or 100-pound, you know, bags. You know, to go ahead, and I would have loved getting a load of salt to go ahead and take back east somewhere. I would have loved doing that here, plenty of mileage. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, I guess you weren't much of a high roller either here, you know what I mean? I really wasn't much of a high roller. I went ahead and told people I lost $1.65 over the better, a little bit over a day in Battle Mountain, at the Battle Mountain truck stop. In Nevada. My truck stop has these nickel machines. South Dakota has them too here, you know. That's how they go ahead and try to get the money too. So, anyway, folks, let me go ahead and take another break. And if I'll be back, I'll be back in a little bit. Hold on, folks. Let's just go ahead and change it. It's getting late Thursday night. And what I've decided to do is that since we've covered pretty well about everything in the movement I could think of offhand, and pretty well answered whatever I could on the chat, and pretty well this particular show is about what I found on the Topeka 2004 rally in May. Yeah, it was in May 2004. Let's just go ahead and call it quits for tonight and go ahead and play the Flooring Geyer. So, well, until Sunday night show, let's just go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless, and good night.
White and clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on this victory route, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse log, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For one never rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Sogling next we stomp our boots to stamp out Castro. White mango, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the court of bronze, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White mango, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White mango, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.